Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control, Monday Night Magic number 600 will proceed as originally planned. Our apologies. And hey, look, here we are. Hopefully you guys can hear us, because, yeah.
Yeah, if you can hear us, say something back. We can't hear you.
Ow, jam! Hello, Twitch stream, and welcome, and all of you people listening later, or watching on YouTube later. Hello and welcome to the Monday Night Magic number 600 live video something something extravaganza. I'm really going to have to turn that off, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll go do that in a minute. So,
possibly.
This is, as you can tell, Monday Night Magic number 600. As it says right beneath my picture here, I am Chewy. But since this is my Twitch channel, you probably might recognize me.
It is possible.
The giggling person over there with the bow tie is Clues.
Hi, everybody. This is what I look like, believe it or not.
And believe it or not. And believe the one that looks like Squee is, in fact, Squee.
Yeah. Hello, Internet. How are you?
Wait, I made many promises of what I was going to wear today.
Oh, there we go. Got there.
Yep. There we go.
So, yeah, we'll make that work. So, good lord, there's all kinds of things popping up. WJ Albany subscribed. Hey, thanks, buddy. Magnus subscribed for 6 months in a row. Jake Golbez just subscribed. Oh, my God.
What's up with that?
I don't know. So, okay, not all of those have popped up on the screen yet, but they've popped up in chat. Apparently, Squee also subbed.
There were some
bits that I didn't... Oh, Pharmacist Judge subscribed. Oh, my God. We haven't even started the show yet. You guys might not actually appreciate any of this. Wait, there were bits.
You see, the real reason to subscribe is so that you can make the Chewy face in the chat.
Squee subscribed. That is the real reason to subscribe. Pinball Witch threw 25 bits, and Cap threw 85 bits, and Pinball Witch threw 500 more bits. Oh my God. Goliath subscribed, and Pact subscribed, Pharmacist Judge subscribed. I don't know if all those have popped up yet. I think that was probably the last one. Who was that? Nope, we got one more. Oh my God. This is a hell of a way to start episode 600. And thank you all so very much. Come hang out when we're playing, you know, other video games. And if I ever get in the beta, when we're playing MTG Arena, huh? Okay, Goliath is the last one that I saw, so that, in theory, is everybody.
We shall see.
We shall see. What happened to Good Luck, Luzay? We actually don't know. We think this one killed him.
It's possible. I mean maybe the robot did it. We don't know.
I have no input here.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
Beep, boop.
So... it's actually, Monday Night Magic
on.
Number 600. We haven't done this since we did 500, roughly 2 years ago, and that was on some random channel that Squee made.
I wasn't
streaming back then.
Yeah, this is way more legit.
Sorta. We have this nice little background thing. It's so cute. I got it all set up.
We've been on this call for
almost an hour already, so I could get all this set up.
It's part of the experience.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Hey, is that Angelo in the chat?
That is Angelo in the chat.
Hey, Angelo, how you doing? Yeah, I grew the facial hair about a year ago, but haven't been on the stream, so...
I like to think that the facial hair actually is just what happens every time he goes on a cruise. He just comes
believe it or not,
a little bit more.
It was on a cruise where I stopped shaving and got to this.
I would believe that, yeah. So,
I also still can't figure out how to...
I am the Dork, the law of conservation of hair is the answer.
Account, so
is that how that works? Oh my God. WJM Albany threw 1,000 bits with a message that because this is so tiny I can't freaking read.
Apple Cork CORC, there are actually 3 ukuleles back there, so it's 300% at least.
Is it?
And yeah, and there's a 4th over here.
Ah, wow, that's very blue.
That one is incredibly blue, Clues.
Yeah, it is.
That's how we know he's evil, Clues, because he has a blue ukulele. But I don't see a red ukulele.
Jay Gulbez has an interesting question. He says, is it a requirement to be a ginger to host, to be a host on M&M?
I am not a ginger.
Okay, I'm not really a ginger either.
I mean, you're kind of ginger.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I am not ginger. I did not get the racial bonuses or penalties that go with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, bonuses?
We can't. Actually, yeah, we have your soul eaten. We actually have a bonus save against what? Anesthesia? Yeah.
Could be.
Anyway, so, no live ukulele. If we do that, it'll be later.
Yeah.
This is still Monday Night Magic, so as much as we love you guys, we have to talk about
stuff.
The news. So, rather than start with tournaments, because that's clearly not the big important thing, we're going to start with the big important thing, which is Dominaria. Now, apologies if you listened to the last Mana Pool, because we covered all of this in depth.
And now we will do so in less depth, so you should still probably go listen to that.
Less depth. Oh, and more bits from Pinball Witch, who said, love you guys. Oh, we love you too, Rachel Honey. Well, I mean, I do. I don't know about these two.
I like to think that she's actually throwing them at you.
Like in,
not at the ground near you, specifically at you.
Yeah.
And not even to you, but at you.
Yeah, yeah.
from what I know of Rachel, that's probably accurate. So,
yeah.
Gentlemen, what do we want to start with? Do we want to start with all the stuff that we were right about before? Look, I said gentlemen because you're the only ones that are here.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll have to settle.
Yeah, I guess we could start with what we were right about. Shouldn't take long.
That and Thatchman just became a lifeguard. Hey, thanks. Okay, so let's go to this screen. Here we go.
Wait. The screens are changing.
Chewy, squeaky. Okay, I got our names, the right names on the right people. That's a good sign.
That helps.
So, Clues, you've already been called out with the solo cup.
Look, I thought about getting an actual glass of water, but I just put it in the solo cup because it was easier. I'm sorry. It is water, I promise.
He promises, officer.
So, got the frame template and rules changes. We talked about all of this. Spells referencing themselves on the stack as this spell.
Yep.
Let's see. The singular they, we talked about that.
Right.
The dropping the words the mana pool, we talked about that.
Yeah, sadly.
The planeswalker redirection rule, we talked about that. They did recognize the, I forgot what we were going to say. I completely forgot what I was going to say with that. But they did spell out some of the things we were sort of kind of unsure on.
Yeah.
A little bit, like target player is now target player or planeswalker. Target creature or player is just any target. It says right here, the words any target specifically mean target creature, player, or planeswalker. So any legal target for people asking dumb questions.
Yeah. The inevitable.
Yeah. Things that say target opponent are changed to target opponent or planeswalker, which is a bit of a functional change. Because you can now target your own planeswalker with something that says target opponent, which is a little weird, but so incredibly niche that we...
Yeah.
I doubt that'll...
It's cleaner than finding a way to work around it.
Take that, Chase.
MTG Blades is now following. Hey, thank you. Let me make that slightly bigger. There we go. Let's see. What else? Oh. I don't remember if we mentioned this on Monday Night Magic or not. But Al just threw 600 bits. Yay. I'm glad Clues has the bow tie on. A revolution was brewing. It may have been my idea if he didn't have one on. Thank goodness, Clues.
You saved the day.
But anyway, anything that looks at something that a player controls. So if the amount of damage is calculated by using information about that player or objects they control, and Sudden Impact is the classic, Sudden Impact deals damage equal to the number of cards in target player's hand to that player. Planeswalkers don't have hands, so you can't do that.
Yeah. It was a shame that the mending cost them their hands. I'm sure they missed them a lot.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
they
I
do.
Was trying to figure out how to make that joke.
Thank you for the follow, Steve Raffle. Wait, is that the Steve Raffle? Hey, buddy.
From the internet? Dude, I follow him on Twitter.
That's where we're from.
Yeah, we should really hang out.
So, yeah. They do mention that Vile Smasher... Where do they mention Vile Smasher? is receiving some kind of errata, but they don't spell out what. So probably what somebody said in the chat.
The errata will be errated.
Yes. So there you go. And then what was the other thing? Oh, the big, as we named the episode of the Manipool, the Dominarian Crown Molding, which we were on the homepage for a brief period of time this morning for a couple hours, I think. So it's good that people got to see the Dominarian Crown Molding.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what else do you call that, really? Look at that. It actually looks like crown molding. If you look at, I did a Google image search for crown molding to find the image to make the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And that fit almost perfectly on one of them.
It's hard to argue.
But this will be only on legendary permanents. Legendary permanents that aren't planeswalkers, because planeswalkers look different enough. But yeah, this will be on legendary artifacts, lands, creatures, and sorceries. Is that everything? I think that's an enchantment. Just legendary things that aren't planeswalkers. We'll get this.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice little, like, visual cue.
Any input? I think it'll be fun.
You guys, do you care?
I think it's neat. I think it's also neat because it makes things stand out a little more when everyone puts down their commanders. Like, presuming you get a commander from this point going forward, they'll have a unique card frame, and that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's nifty. It's a nice shorthand. I like the crown molding.
Yeah?
Yeah. I can dig it.
Kind of looks like the frames that I put up in Dragon Age Inquisition, so I appreciate that, too. You've got to decorate. It's important.
And, yeah, Nate pointed out the crown molding on the legendaries here is like the dragon on the legendary cards in Hearthstone. Yeah, that was one of the... On the Manipool, we focused a little more on that than I think was necessary. Mike pointed out that when he saw this, he thought about the Hearthstonification of Magic cards, but I don't think that's what it is exactly.
No, I think they actually put out some kind of new card frame pretty much every year of late, so I'm glad this one isn't ugly.
Jay Golbez in the chat has a very important point. These borders are going to ruin Magic.
Yes, yes. But so are the new rules changes, and more importantly, the separator bar.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Between rules text and flavor text, this heralds the end of Magic.
Yep. It's all over. You should sell off your collection right now.
Just going to burn this crown. I should take that off my head.
If you're going to burn it, yeah, please take it off your head first.
Yes, please.
See you next turn, guys.
So that's all stuff that, except for the crown molding, that's all stuff we talked about before, because it was in the, what's that stuff called that was released early?
The past? I know you have no concept of passage of time. Like, I thought maybe we could, you know.
Flavor text. Yeah, the release
accidental
notes.
Release note early. Yeah. In the past. He's not wrong. The past was released early.
That is also true. Uh-oh. Pharmacist Judge goes, there's a big question about the separator bar. What if there's no rules text to separate? Will there be a bar stopping the onslaught of nothing?
I think that's when you have the full art flavor text, which is just flavor text all over the card.
How long until we have an uncard where the flavor text is a separator bar?
Ooh.
Ah, how very meta. Anyway, that'll be the next unset.
Unlikely.
That is the next up. Okay, so next up, how about the mechanics?
All right, word.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Nope, one of these.
I thought we talked about sagas at least.
Yeah, we did talk about sagas.
We got those early.
They showed us Phyrexian scriptures.
They showed us a saga.
Yes, and sagas from the few that I've seen today are kind of sick, but...
Yeah.
They happen, so they're enchantments. You play them as normal enchantments. When they enter the battlefield, you add a lore counter, and you do the thing on one. After your draw step, so at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you add a lore counter, and you do two. And then at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you add a counter, and you do three, and then you sacrifice it.
Dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
So, yeah.
Yep.
All right, when do we put data counters on them?
Really?
Yeah, I went there.
Did you just make a Brent Spiner joke?
Look, we were all thinking it, right? I don't know about all of us, but clearly thinking about
I was thinking it. I just wasn't
data and lore. Right?
Whoa, Sogeking with the 1500 bits. Thank you, sir.
Nice.
Oh yeah, and what is this watermark? We spotted it on the Manipul, but we couldn't on the Flame of Keld here. We couldn't recognize it. Like I'm wondering if they made it up to be like a Keld thing.
I don't recognize it, but I also haven't actually played in anything that was set on this plane except for Time Spiral, which had enough going on that I wasn't paying attention.
True. What, Pinball Witch with 250 more bits. Oh my god, thank you guys.
It's escalating.
It's out of control. Well, the other saga that I've seen was Phyrexian Scriptures, which had the Phyrexian symbol right here behind all this. So, I don't know, it's really cool, whatever it is.
Yeah. I also appreciate that now we actually have the rules for the more niche situations that we were hypothesizing about before. Like, you are adding counters, and therefore you can add additional counters, and both things will trigger. If you take a counter off, it'll go back a step, nothing will happen, but then the next turn it'll go forward to the step you were just on, and that'll happen again. Yeah. So
you can always go forward, not backwards. And if you go all the way forward, you'll still trigger all the things in between.
Correct. Which is good to know.
It's logical. Yeah.
But I do like that Bill pointed out, if you remove counters, you don't... Like, if you're on two and you remove one, you don't do the one counter again.
Yeah.
That is good to know.
But for this one, that's pretty sweet as a way to remove counters and repeatedly get two cards if you can set that up in a red deck.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
So, next up we have a new game term, historic.
That means old.
It's for games that go really long.
Any Manipul episode that is or Manipul Commander game, yeah.
Ooh.
Or any game against Prilliman.
Or the Avant Card Show.
Granted, you can only have games against Prilliman during visiting hours.
Yeah, there's a limit to how long you can play those. But yes, the Avant Card Show, which I believe is still playing from when I started it 8 years ago. because it is historic. But in the context of Magic the Gathering, historic refers to artifacts, legendaries, and sagas, specifically. So,
what about legendary artifacts?
Yes. It is still historic.
Excellent.
Sorry, I was reading chat. What did I miss?
Yes, that is true. Any game with the top will be historic because it will never end. Ever.
So wait, did we tell people what historic was? I really wasn't paying attention.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah, we covered that. Yeah. It was historical. You can look it up in the historic record.
Yes.
In the archives.
I still...
Thousands of years ago.
I had reservations about this when I read it, and I still don't especially like it, but it's just a shorthand way to refer to things, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it's like just this one tiny little piece of... subtype of enchantments, and then everything that's legendary, and then all the artifacts. My brain does not like that. It's all of this, and then that. And it.
Yeah. I appreciate how Springleaf Drum encompasses, like, the Weatherlight, and a Planeswalker, and this drum that goblins hit with a fish.
Yeah. But, like, I understand that it's not supposed to be. Like, I severely doubt it'll show up past Dominaria, so it's fine.
Yeah, this is fine for a fun one set.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I understand how they did. If they had to spell it out every single time, that would be miserable.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Plus the two ways they use it here, it's fine. So let's see, then Kicker's back, and Kicker is awesome.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
It is.
It's still the archetype for half of abilities.
Yes.
For those of you who've never seen Kicker, you can pay more and get more. And, like, that's really the long and short of it. It allows cards to be effective in the early game, and if you draw them late, you can get more out of them, and they create the mini game where you stare at this card and you wonder how greedy you're going to be this game.
I do not like the art on Vicious Offering. There's things going on there, and they don't look good.
I think that's the point, yeah.
That does sound like the name. I think the skulls also have solo cups, so maybe you can hang out with the Vicious Offering guy.
Hey, okay. Look at that.
Yeah, I think those are... Yeah.
No, this is just a frat party.
They show creatures with a completely generic mana kicker cost. A creature with a colored kicker cost. A spell with a generic mana kicker cost. And then a spell with a non-mana kicker cost. Just to show the full gamut that it runs.
Yeah.
Nice and simple.
Yep.
Next new thing we have is legendary sorceries.
Dun dun dun.
Which just means that you have to have a legendary creature or planeswalker in order to cast this spell. That's it.
Yep.
Because you can't cast... What was that?
Oh, good God.
Slug farm just threw 2,500 bits. Good Lord. Thank you.
Bits are also a form of kicker.
Bit, yeah.
You can pay those when you're watching. Clues and Chewy, Cluey, after they unmeld, will thank you.
But, Fusion!
So you can't cast a legendary sorcery by yourself. You have to get your legendary, because you're not legendary, let's be honest.
I disagree.
I mean, sorry, Squee, you're just named after legendary, just like I am. You're just not. But if you have somebody legendary around to help you cast it, you're good to go.
And, of course, you really only need the legendary there when you cast it. As soon as it's on the stack, anything that happens to that legendary is. But they've already done their part. They can go.
Yep. They said the magic words.
And then we have the actual card here, which consists of Urza going anime on the Stratosphere.
Yep.
Yeah, apparently this is when he set off the Golgothian Silix, whatever that word is.
Look, Urza did a lot of stuff, and not all of it was great.
Real nice.
Most of it turns
there.
Out wasn't great.
Shame if something happened to it.
So yeah, it's kind of sick though. You exile all non-land permanents that aren't legendary for 5 mana. Seems good.
Expect this to show up in your control decks so that your planeswalkers survive and nothing else does. It'll be great.
Because planeswalkers are legendary now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. The next new thing is Hexproof From, which I think is brilliant. Clues, you don't like it?
Clues is dissenting.
I've just never been a huge fan of Hexproof, period. I think
this is a much more watered down one, if it helps.
It is. I just have felt that Hexproof is I'm gonna call it OP. Yeah, let's go with that. It's OP. And at least this is
just P.
We're reining it in.
Well, it's also less confusing and less broken and less abusable than Protection. And just less powerful in general. So it's a watered-down version of Hexproof that is also a watered-down version of Protection. So...
Yep.
It sounds like... Who said that? I have the dark chat turned on. WC Stormcrow says, it sounds like just another way to say Protection From, but it's way less than Protection.
Yeah, this doesn't give evasion, which is critical. And because it's Hexproof and not Protection, it means that you can still do whatever you want with those with any color of the magic rainbow.
Yeah, like Protection was damage, enchant or equip, block or target. Hexproof is just target. You can still block the Knight of Grace here that's Hexproof From Black with a demon.
Grizzlebrand.
You can still... I guess that's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one.
You can still kill it with pestilence effects, you know.
And if it's yours, you can enchant it with a black spell.
Yeah. And Pinball Witch, yes, Hexproof From Blue is just fine. I have no problems with that.
Admittedly, Blue is going to take care of it before the Hexproof kicks in.
Also, yes, I think we should call it Troll Shroud.
Don't bring that back.
Hey, it's not me. It was Angelo in the chat. That's totally his fault.
Oh, and Pharmacist Judge says, and it preserves creature interaction, which is...
That's
very
true. It's important.
Good.
Yeah, so this is them acknowledging that they want something like that to exist in the game, just nowhere near the power level that it has been at. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah, like in Limited, for instance, if you got something that was Protection From Black and your opponent had a primarily black deck, there's just nothing they could do. And you were just
boarded in and they suffer.
You just two them to death. Swing, swing, swing. This keeps that from happening, so... Seems good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh,
expect these to show up in sideboards, potentially, based on how the meta goes.
Potentially.
Also, don't be surprised if the black and the red ones are better than the white and the green ones.
I kind of doubt they're going to have one of each color.
I don't know. Just in general with the mechanics, some colors are better at hitting creatures than others. Although now that, you know, green pretty regularly has a this fight stat, you might get a little more out of it. And white seems to regularly have something that exiles, so it may not be a thing. But generally speaking, things like this, red and black are the ones you probably want to prioritize.
Yeah. Yeah, Pharmacist Judge said, ask any red mage looking at a core firewalker on the other side of the battlefield. Exactly.
That's miserable.
I forgot that it actually applied to Constructed as well, because that card is a little too good.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next up, how about this controversial bit of Biobox promo?
Okay.
What do we think of that?
So for people that haven't heard yet, normally if you pre-order... Oh, just the... Specifically the promo?
Well, I mean, the way that experience. The way that you get the promo.
Yeah, let's treat the way you get the promo separate from the promo itself.
Okay. So
I think those are probably two separate discussions we want to have. So for those...
Meshack is now following. Hey, thanks.
For those not in the know, did you know that you can pre-order Dominaria from your local game store? And you probably should. If you're going to buy a box, hey... Why not let them know, I'm going to buy a box, go ahead and order plenty, because I'm totally in for one of those. That's a great idea. Hey, maybe we even want to encourage people to do that, just so that stores have, you know, more continuity. They know what's going on. That's better for your local game store. They're probably making razor-thin margins anyway, so it's nice. So let's encourage people to do that. Hey, I got a terrible idea. How about if we go ahead and encourage them to do it by giving away a promo card? No, that part's fine. That part's fine. Promo card for pre-ordering a box, totally normal. We've been doing that for a while. But how about if that card is both standard legal and not available any other way? How about that?
Hey, RomaBoy12 is now following too. Thank you. Yeah, so this idea, this decision to make buy a box promo only a buy a box promo has hit a lot of people wrong.
It's offensive.
Now, you know, they did kind of a similar thing with standard legal cards that were going to appear in the Planeswalker decks. And a lot of people were like, yeah, this is kind of a terrible idea. Maybe you shouldn't do that because those cards aren't going to be available any other. Oh, wait, those cards are actually not useful for playing in standard. Yeah, I guess that's okay. And I think that's what they were going for here is let's make a card that will appeal to a subset of the audience that might encourage them to do this. It'll encourage the collectors. It'll encourage the EDH folks. Let's do that. But I got to tell you, I do not like this kind of move. I don't like the idea of standard legal cards that are difficult to get because it does crazy things in the secondary market. And honestly, it's confusing. Now, there's a certain level of confusion that we have to tolerate for, say, new players. But, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, all the cards that are in these, you see these three like different sets up here on the wall. You can buy any of those boosters and those are stuff that's in standard. Oh, and also some cards that are in this pre-con deck. Some of those are also in standard. Oh, and if you pre-order, oh, you weren't here. You didn't pre-order the box. Yeah, you can't get that card. You'll have to go trade for it. I guess we want to encourage trading, I guess, maybe. But, oh, it's like a bajillion dollars because they accidentally printed a really, really good one that had synergy with, let's say, some other card that will soon be banned in Modern. I don't know. Philosophically, I'm opposed to it. I see what they're trying to do, and I like that they're trying to encourage people to pre-order boxes from their local game store, like their actual local game store, not like just buying it online from giant mega retailer or going to Target when they break street date. Oh, hey, speaking of breaking street date, should we talk about that or should we keep that separate?
In a minute. Continue your thought.
Okay, but I do want to encourage people to purchase things from their friendly local game store. That's how they thrive and survive. And, you know, if nothing else, drive to Durham, North Carolina, and buy things from Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina, because it's a great shop. You should check it out. Yeah, it's a live show. Chewy couldn't stop me.
And if you're going to do that, then give me a call, and I'll meet you over there.
Okay. Yeah, if I'm going to do that, I'll let you know.
But, like, the thing that bothers me, that I don't think I thought of this until after we recorded the Mana Pool, is that this is for the... Like the casual and commander and Brawl crowd, right?
Yes. Theoretically.
Okay. I mean, that's what they've said. This is for those people. But those people aren't necessarily going to buy a box of Dominaria because the vast majority of cards in Dominaria are worthless in Commander.
Well, then perhaps this is their way to try and tempt them into buying a box. Because, I mean, the folks who are going to buy a box of the new set when it comes out, period, we don't need to entice them. They're just going to do that.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel for the people who, upon getting their initial glimpse of this set, immediately went online and pre-ordered this stuff from online retailers, and now they find out they're missing this unless they also go to their local game store and buy something?
I mean, it's the price you pay, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, we've pretty much conditioned people for the longest time that you want to pre-order product because they run out all the time.
I mean, but you were always not going to get the buy a box promo from that.
Sure, but you were buying boxes with the idea that you could get the whole set.
Eh.
I mean, like, they knew they weren't getting the buy a box, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, the buy a box promo is some rare that you're going to have a few copies of by the end of it anyway, just because you bought boxes.
Hmm. I have no sympathy for people that immediately go pre-order stuff online instead of from their local game shop. So I legitimately don't care about those people.
But like, can you see whatever. Why they'd be upset?
No, because they weren't going to get the buy a box promo anyway. So, from that line of thinking, this is just a rare that wasn't in their box. Yeah.
I think that there's a general assumption when you buy Magic product that no matter where you buy it, you have the same chance of opening what you want. And you do, except you're guaranteed to not open this. And I think I can understand someone not being happy about that.
I mean, because whatever.
A lot of people also don't have a local game store.
Yeah, which means those people weren't going to get this anyway. That's more of a problem for people that don't have a local game store to pre-order a box from. Then you're stuck with the secondary market on this, which I really kind of don't like.
A point that has been brought up in the chat several times, most recently by our good buddy Pharmacist Judge. There are scattered reports of local game stores charging a premium to guarantee that you get this promo. I'm not a fan of that, like, at all.
I'm not either, but that's the same as charging, you know, 5x the MSRP to get it from the vault. That's just a thing that's going to happen. I don't like it either, but it's going to happen.
I'm of the mindset that if they're going to put a standard legal card in the set, and inevitably they will print some standard legal card that's going to matter, and we're going to have a problem. The same way that when they were doing the original Commander boxes, and then they printed a Legacy-ready Merfolk, and one of the Commander boxes completely got gypped because people were buying sets of 4 of them just so that they could make their Legacy deck work. I'm a little worried that if they ever print something worthwhile here, or even just something super fun and you have to pre-order it, well, it's going to suck if you're in a place where you can't get these, because normally if you aren't in a place where you have a local game store, you can still buy the product and then eventually open what you were trying to get. I think this is unfortunately restrictive. I understand the argument for wanting to help local game stores, but I don't think you should help local game stores at the actual expense of the players. I think that you say that you'll be able to just buy singles of this thing online, but that's still not really benefiting the game stores either, because as we've already noted, people are going to pre-order their stuff through wherever they can pre-order it, game stores or otherwise. You're just adding something else to the pile.
Now, my guess is that WotC did not expect the negative backlash from this, that they didn't really quite think that through. I know.
Let me stop you right there. Everything Wizards does gets negative backlash, so they really should expect it from everything.
I suspect they thought it, but on the same note, they were given the ultimatum of, we need to move more boxes through the local game stores, and so that's a way that cost them nearly nothing to do it.
It is, but I think that they are unlikely to continue this trend this way. I think there's been enough of a negative backlash that I don't think this is going to be a common thing.
So Oxy the Mellifluous says, what about the thought of LGS as hoarding the promos and selling them instead? That's part of the agreement. They can't do that. And if they do, that's actually breaking the agreement with Wizards.
I know they can't sell them, but they can use them as prizes in tournaments, can they?
No, it's a buy a box promo. If there are any left over, I think they can do with them as they will, as long as they can't sell them.
Yeah.
But I know a long, long time ago, Lucky's, back before he sold it, Lucky's, he was trying to unload a bunch of these promos that he hadn't given away. And he's like, I can't sell them, so they're going to be prizes. And it was, I don't remember if it was a pre-release or a standard tournament or what, but like everybody got one. And then later he walked around and everybody got another one. And then like people who finished with so many wins got two more. And he just had this stack of unused promos. He's like, I can't sell these. There's literally nothing else I can do. So here, and he's just passing them out like candy.
Yeah.
So if they do that and you find out that your local store is doing that, they are breaking the agreement with Wizards of the Coast. And you should let the WPN network know somehow, however that works.
Yeah, I think this is actually a good time for that plug. There are lots of friendly local game stores that are both local and friendly. There are a small minority of local game stores that are not friendly who do engage in, boy, there's shady. No swearing on Monday Night Magic. Yeah, shady, shady practices.
It sounds the same, but it's not swearing.
It's very similar, but it's not quite swearing. And when that happens, yeah, you should get in contact with the Wizards Play Network, WPN, and let them know, hey, my store is doing a thing that I don't think is on the up and up. Can you look into that?
Now, so, if someone sells it back to the store after getting it, they can sell that.
Yes.
Because now it's theirs.
Right.
So that's fine. And I think it's like pre-release packs after the pre-release or after launch or something, you can sell those. So like there's all kinds of,
yeah, I think there's a time limit, but after a certain time limit is passed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's how I picked up on, I rounded out my collection of the Return to Ravnica block packs doing that.
Yeah.
Because I just found it was
Dragon's Maze. Do you need boxes of Dragon's Maze?
If you wanted the one with Izzet and Dimir, yeah, you could find those for like 3 years.
No, I meant booster boxes of Dragon's Maze, because if you...
You could probably still build a house out of those lying around.
I probably could.
Yeah, Close was doing a lot of judging back then.
Yeah, I was.
But so, regardless, that's opinions on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, how about the card itself? Let's table all of that and just look at the card, and how do we feel about the card?
The card is neat.
I think it's neat.
Oh, I
like it.
Hey, Rafegal just subscribed. Hey, thanks, buddy.
I like the design of it. It feels very Ravnica, Borosy. It's appropriately two colors, playing off of the fact that they want you to play both colors rather than just flashing it.
You know who these guys are, right? Like in the general sense, they're Hurley Minotaurs.
Oh well, yeah. I didn't know these specific. Are these real characters?
Well, I mean, they are now, but
yeah, they're Minotaurs, and I appreciate that.
Yay!
Minotaur Cleric for your Minotaur Tribal deck.
So for those, I forgot, this is also still going out in audio. Firesong and Sunspeaker for 4, a red and a white, or a 4/6 rare, legendary, rare, like that matters, legendary Minotaur Cleric. Red instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink.
I like that a lot. I think you should do that more.
And then whenever a white instant or sorcery spells causes you to gain life, Firesong and Sunspeaker deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So your red spells do damage and gain you life, and your white spells that gain you life do damage.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to get this, because this is a commander for me.
It does look like a lot of fun.
And they are angry minotaurs. Just look at them.
So, hey, Cap, if you want to know what Brawl is, just wait. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Now, that's not all there is to say about pre-ordering boxes.
Yeah, there's another twist on this one. So normally when you pre-order a booster box or really any product from Magic, you can't pick it up until launch day. Why they call it launch day. This time around for Dominaria, if you pre-order a booster box, you can pick it up at the pre-release, which is a week before you should be able to buy it under normal circumstances. So if you're pre-ordering it, you'll actually have all of your product that you pre-ordered a week before it gets to the big box stores.
Well, as long as the big box stores don't break streak date. We're looking at you, Target.
I mean, I'm not going to say I reported them once, but it was very public when I did. Yeah. But yeah, so another incentive when you're pre-ordering is that you'll get it a week before other people do. And that's nice. It was always kind of annoying to show up at the pre-release and then wait a week to get the rest of your stuff. My one concern might be that a lot of times at pre-releases, even if you win prizes, like they don't actually have the product on hand because they're running multiple pre-releases. So they save all the booster boxes to get through all their events, and then they let people do pre-order stuff a week later. I don't know how they're going to handle that here. Guess we'll see how much product they have.
Yeah. So there's a question in the chat that I've seen answered multiple different ways. How does Firesong and Sunspeaker work with Lightning Helix? My thought, Lightning Helix for red and white deals 3 damage to any target, and you gain 3 life, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So my thought is that the red part of that will trigger this first ability, so it'll deal the 3, and you'll gain that much, so 3. Yeah. And then the white part will gain you life, so then this will deal 3 damage. So essentially, Lightning Helix does 3 and gains 3, and Firesong and Sunspeaker does 3 and gains 3. So it's a total of 6 damage and 6 life, right?
Yes, with the advantage that you can send the 3 to a different place.
Correct. I'm seeing all kinds of answers in the chat over here, and none of these sound right.
Oh.
Like, Donovan Bain says Lightning Helix deals 9 damage divided in 3s and heals 3 twice. Why does it deal 9? That doesn't make sense.
Keep in mind that the red, like the clause that it has at the beginning is red instant sorcery spells, not red, as in like Fire Song and Sunspeaker are not going to trigger when they then deal their damage.
Right.
None of that's happening. All of this is off of instant and sorcery, so each spell can only trigger once.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure with the Helix, you would deal 3 damage, gain 3 life, then gain 3 life, then deal 3 more damage, and that's it.
Okay, wait a minute. 6000J says it specifically gives it lifelink, so the spell is gaining the life. Oh. That can't be, because if that happened, every burn spell would cause an additional 3 points of damage to go out. Because you would... Oh, no, because it says... Oh, because any burn spell is not white. Oh! Okay, this will require some clarification.
Okay, so Lightning Helix, we deal 3 damage, and we gain 3 life, and now we're done with Lightning Helix, and now we have to deal with some triggers. Red instant sorcery spells you control have lifelink.
Yeah, that's not a trigger, that's just a
thing. So you would then gain 3 life because of the static ability on Firesong and Sunspeaker. So we're up to 3 damage and 6 life. Whenever a red instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, that spell caused us to gain life twice, because those are 2 separate things. So then we get 3 more damage and 3 more damage. I think he may be right.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think I wasn't factoring in the fact that it specifically is lifelink. It's not gaining life.
And my brain completely forgot that it's red and white for both triggers. So yeah. Okay, so it sounds like you are dealing 9 damage and gaining 6 life.
We think. We want to be clear on that. We're not. Yeah,
based on what you're saying, that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad the chat is here so that I don't have to wait for Twitter to tell me we got it wrong.
That's true, yeah.
I just have to wait for the chat to catch up to what we're saying. By the way, we're not ignoring you for a while. There's a slight delay.
I am ignoring you, but there is also a slight delay. It looks like Bill didn't put the Brawl article.
I thought I did.
In the
the second under other news?
Did you add that later? Because I don't have that open.
Yeah, I added it when we mentioned it in the pre-show.
Oh, okay. Because I opened all the stuff up first, and then I was working on the scenes. Okay, so let's talk about Brawl then. Now that we've gotten all that out of the way.
Okay, so first there was Smash, then there was Melee, and now there's Brawl.
Yes. And then there was 3DS and Wii U?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's dumb.
That has DLC. We're not talking.
But Brawl is a new format that they're creating or introducing, where it's essentially Commander. If you start with Commander, this will be a lot simpler. So it's Commander, except it's 60 card singleton. You start at 30 life, and your Commander can be a legendary creature or Planeswalker. Bye, Angelo. We miss you too, man.
Oh, yeah. We'll see ya. Oh, and I'm sorry, Angelo, that's congrats on 600, not 5.
I did 600 or 500.
Yeah, you did. But
I mean, none of us did 500 of this.
This one's
that is true.
But
oh, and Pinball Witch dropped 25 bits, and yes, that was random discard.
Yeah, that well at the time not. that was card advantage.
Okay, either way, it was yeah.
However, it's now random discard.
Yeah. So confusion. Brawl. Okay, like was that everything? I think that's oh, and it's standard.
Standard.
Only. Yeah,
that's the important
part. So Commander, 60 card singleton, your 30 life starting total. Your commander can be a legendary creature or a planeswalker, and it's standard only.
The standard only is the pretty critical way of them realizing that now that people have gotten all in on commander, they don't need to buy standard. And so now it's like, oh, whoa, rotating commander. Now we're talking.
Yeah. as someone who already doesn't play Magic, I don't care. But
I think it's a neat idea. And I think that it's pretty clean because it can probably just follow all the standard relevant stuff from the existing commander ban lists. And it's a format where you don't have nearly as much degenerate combo stuff possible because you don't have old busted cards and you don't have all of the tutors that enable them. So I think it's probably fine. Yeah. I'll be interested to see where it goes. I think this is probably a lot more sustainable than like Tiny Leaders was. So
yeah. JD Phoenix says, I feel like the mana in this format has to be atrocious. Good.
I think that's the idea.
Yeah, that's part of the point. Is that you can't just take your commander deck and transpose it to standard. It's its own format.
Yeah. It is totally its own format.
And go ahead. That also means that there will be formats where some color combinations have more support than others. Just straight up. Because you don't always get a cycle of 10 dual lands every set. So there will be times when ally or enemy or whatever other combinations they go with will have more support. And that'll just be the nature of a rotating, you know, sub-commander format.
Yeah.
So when Brawl was first announced, my gut reaction, because, you know, I'm old. Not as old as Prilliman, but also not... Never mind.
Aren't you older than Prilliman?
Yeah, I am, actually.
No one is older than Prilliman.
Right, so I'm simultaneously older than and not older than, because I can't be.
Right.
When it was first announced, my gut reaction was, this is terrible, everything is terrible, it's all going to fail, the death of Magic. You know, the usual stuff that we all go through. It's kind of the constant.
You know, change.
Exactly. Change is absolutely the worst. We need to change that as soon as we can. But my first reaction was, why in God's name would anyone want to play this? The whole point of a thing like Commander is I can build like one or two decks. They can change very slowly over time, but I'm not on the rotation, you know, carousel, the rotation merry-go-round. I don't have to like, you know, nuke part of my deck every, you know, so often. And then I happened to see a comment, and I don't know if it was on Twitter or if it was on Reddit, but I saw a comment by someone about this, and I apologize that I don't know who it was. This is not my original thought. It was someone who really, really likes to brew decks, but hates playing competitive Magic. And this format is perfect for someone like that, that they want to, you know, make new decks. They want to, you know, constantly try new things, but don't want to be involved in the, you know, constant competitiveness. Yeah, that's a good sentence. We'll roll with that.
I like it.
Competition.
And yes, indeed, Random Co. Yes, restriction breeds creativity. Some people really, really like that.
Yeah. Excuse me, I just realized that I never started my recording again. I just started the stream. So I was checking with Bill to make sure that he was back doing the backup recording of the audio.
I am doing the backup recording of the audio. Though you should probably also start yours just in case.
I am not recording anything.
Also Twitch.
Now that we've missed half of it, sure, why not? I'll start the recording again. But yeah, I'll have to download the rest of the stream from Twitch or get it from you. Anyway.
We'll see which one's faster.
Getting it from you will be faster because it won't be able to be downloaded from Twitch until like tomorrow.
Okay, then. Well, then yes, I will continue doing that.
Hey, holy crap, we have the 6th most viewers of any Magic stream right now.
Nice. Take that, other Magic streams on Monday night.
That aren't the 5 above us.
Encroaching on our turf.
Oh, and Applecork, I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear. So for those of you on the audio only, a commenter in the Twitch chat, Applecork, I think that's how you pronounce that, C-O-R-C. Yeah, let's go with Applecork. They agree. That's how they feel about this. I love all the deck ideas I've had since the announcement, and I think that's great. Okay, I'm super excited that there is a new format that appeals to people. And as I'm going to digress cynically for just a minute. I hope that's okay. And in fact, a format that will help fuel sales of Standard, because that is something that we as a community do need to get past. WotC needs to make money to continue to make the game.
Wait,
so
what?
If you want the game to continue, they have to continue to make money. So if this is a way for them to do that, that isn't just, oh, let's jack the price of all boosters by 50 cents and call it a day, I'm cool with that. Okay, if they can increase demand by making a new format that people will like and people will enjoy, I think it's great.
What he said.
And I could tell Chewy was chewing because you can hear his jaw.
So
yeah. I always eat an oatmeal cream pie on stream, and usually while we're recording Monday Night Magic, but I mute while we're recording Monday Night Magic. So
here he has, you know, full exposure to that. So the better question that we have is, let's say 3 or 4 years from now, will we get Brawl Extended?
I hate you.
You should. It's justified.
Can we get Block Brawl?
I think that's probably is that also a bad idea.
Actually,
is what?
Is that a riot? A Block Brawl?
It is. If you're in Boros.
Brawl Frontier. Popper Brawl?
I don't think you'll get enough legendary options there. In fact, Popper is probably the reason why our cool buy box guy is rare, even though it is not available in booster packs.
Fair enough. And people in the chat keep wanting us to mention, yes, this is a neat way to get something commander-like into Magic Arena. We don't know if they will. I mean, at the moment, they're still trying to make Arena, you know, just function. So...
Oh, and JD Phoenix, don't forget that not only can your quote-unquote commander in Brawl be a legend, it can also be a Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
I don't know if that changes the numbers, since Planeswalkers are also now legendary.
I mean, there's a crapload in Standard right now. I don't think we're ever going to get to the point where there are only 20 legends in Standard.
Hey, incidentally, Chewy, I'm supposed to let you know that congratulations. Now Dr. Mrs. Dr. Clues just wants an oatmeal cream pie. So way to go.
She is welcome.
And she's watching the stream, so everyone in the chat, say hello.
Hi, Jen! Miss you.
Yeah, she's kind of great. Oh, and apparently, so here was another thing that popped up in the chat.
There are not only 20. He's saying if we had a standard format where there are only 20, this format will be less interesting. And that's fine. Don't play it. I want to make a point that I made on the Mana Pool when we talked about this. If you don't like Brawl... It's okay for you to not like Brawl. That's fine.
Hey, can I say an even stronger statement?
Wait, hang on. JD Phoenix has, like, been throwing up reasons that Brawl might not be good in the chat this whole time. At least everything I've seen. Which is fine if you don't like Brawl. It's also fine if other people do. I've seen lots of people just crapping on it on social media, because that's what social media is for people to crap on things. But you don't have to crap on things that you don't like, just because other people do. And I know none of you guys watching or listening are like that, because we have a really good fan base and you're all decent people. But there are people out there who don't like it, think it's dumb, and don't want other people to like it either. And all they do is nitpick on it. Just shut up. It's fine. Not meaning to call out JD Phoenix, by the way. You're just... I've seen a lot of meh about it in the chat.
I appreciate the fact that because these are all standard cards anyway, this isn't a... supplemental product that's introducing things for other formats that you're forced to buy if you want to get those cards. It's not like buying Commander products when you don't care about Commander because you want the cards for your DH deck. Well, that's stupid. Rephrasing. I realized it as I said it. It's like, you know, you want to buy Commander cards for your, you know, Legacy deck or whatever. Like, this isn't that. This is stuff that's already in Standard, already in circulation. If anything, it might make a few... otherwise lackluster legendary cards, you know, worth a little more when you're trading with your friend for the cards that you actually want to play with in your standard deck. So it's not hurting anything by existing.
Yeah, and the stronger statement I wanted to make, Chewy mostly already made, which is it's okay to not like things. Not everything is for you. Not everything is targeted at you, and other people might like it, and that is totally okay. And in fact, if you want to help make the world a better place, the next time you see a thing online that some people are enjoying and you don't enjoy it, don't say anything. Just continue not enjoying it. You don't need to tell them how much you don't enjoy it.
Hey, Clues, how's daylight savings time?
Okay, then there is the bane of daylight saving time, which shouldn't exist. We've been over this before. I don't think we need to open that can again, even though my sleep schedule has only just now sort of recovered.
Like you had a sleep schedule anyway.
It's ridiculous.
He has an awake schedule. It's different. It's
nonsensical. And I can't believe that Florida of all places, is thinking of being sane and getting rid of it.
I don't know. They're just going to be an hour ahead of the East Coast half of the year in their own weird little place with Lansdell. Like,
but,
no, well, no, no one's half. There. Yeah, that's weird, too.
Yeah.
All these weird things are strange. That on, yeah. Shall we move on to other stuff since the list is long?
There's other stuff? I thought this was it for the show.
No. Yeah, you wish. Okay, so how about promos? Want to do some promos?
Promos. Yeah, I got to find that tab. Hang on.
Promos. All
the promos.
All right. F&M promos are being done differently now. They have super sweet alternate frames.
Yeah.
Not frames. They kind of, exactly. The text boxes are all different.
They kind of remind me of like plane shifted.
Yeah, I was going to say, they feel a little bit like the...
Like Planar Chaos.
Yeah. The Time Spiral Future Shifted cards.
There are three this go around. There's Opt.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Which is... Well, of course you don't. But look at the card, though. It's so pretty.
Yeah, I know. The artwork is pretty sweet.
The artwork is also really cool.
But it's so blue.
And then there's...
So blue, it's got Teferi on.
There's Cast Down.
Oh, yeah, that one's okay.
Which has, again, the really neat... All the text boxes, so the name, type, and text box are all darker so that the text in them is white. And behind them is a really nice Planeswalker symbol, watermark thing. It's just cool. Like, if you're not watching this on video and you haven't seen these, go look it up. The link's in the show notes.
Yeah, it's like they trade out the... little horizontal separator bar for a neat Planeswalker symbol in the background.
Yeah. And then we have Shauna Sisse's Legacy here is another one where the... Ah! Whoa! Hang on. The text box is actually half green and half white because she's a green and white legendary. Yeah. And it's so cool.
Yeah, that is a really nice effect.
Yeah, but this is the important bit right here. Unlike previous F&M promos that were the same promo every month, stores will have all three promos and will be able to distribute them how they see fit.
Hmm.
And these are all uncommon. So, yeah.
Yeah. Seems... I mean, it's kind of an evolution of the previous thing where they sort of gave stores free rein to use the promos that they're given each month, as opposed to specifically you can give out for a week, which was the case for a long time.
Yeah.
This is just giving it more of a quarterly feel.
Yeah, I really like this look. To the F&M promos. I'm kind of debating with myself, would I want this treatment on all cards always?
No. Or
would it not be special enough? Would it be one of those, it's better if it's a sometimes thing. I was going to say like cookies, but that's not right because I like cookies.
I like these as a special thing in part because I don't like white text on partially transparent backgrounds. And if every card sitting in front of me was like that, I think that would actually be annoying. But if you've got one or two special ones out there, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
When everyone's super, no one is.
Thanks, Dash.
Dash?
Yeah, it wasn't Dash who said that.
Syndrome? I think
we should go back and watch that movie again.
Before the next one comes out.
Oh, no. Dash's thing was everyone's special, Dash. Same thing as saying no one is.
Oh, I get what you're
saying. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Would you guys also like to comment on the fact that Cast Down is probably going to be a relevant card across multiple formats?
a 2-mana instant destroy target non-legendary creature.
Yeah.
Seems pretty good.
It doesn't have, you know, the claws of non-black or non-artifact, and those cards have been seeing plenty of play over history. So keep that in mind.
Could be.
Maybe you're good uncommon.
For the store championship, you have this sweet... This is the participation promo, by the way.
Wow.
Steel Leaf Champion of an elf on a Kavu. And this card is kind of insane. 3-mana, 5/4. That can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less.
Yeah, now, okay, it is green, green, green. So it does take 3 green to do this. I mean, so it's a little tougher if you're not, you know, green. But
this thing's like a mossy Thoktar.
But if you are in green, this thing is insane. And look, this is also in the set. So you can go turn 1, Llanowar, turn 2, 5/4 that can't be blocked by little things.
Hey, speaking of Llanowar.
Seems kind of sick.
Yep.
Oh, and also, this is the playmat for winning the, what is this, the store championship? The Ixalan, rival for Ixalan
cool
store championship? The badass Idris Elba Teferi?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. I think that it took them a while, but they finally got the hang of good store champion things a few years ago, and now it's just clean and nice all the time.
Yeah.
Although, is this one of the first ones that has the new logo?
Yeah, because the new logo hasn't happened yet. Until Dominaria.
Until this.
So, yeah.
So, neat. It looks a lot nicer in this than I think people were giving credit for originally. Like, it looks pretty on a playmat.
Well, people don't like it because it was different and people fear change, right, Clues?
That's right. Change is scary.
Yeah. And people are dumb. So, the Llanowar Elf here you get for participating in the Magic Open House, formerly, draft weekend, formerly launch. Party, it's been all kinds of things. This is the week after the pre-release, I think, or the week the set comes out, I'm pretty sure is what this is. They've renamed this so many times that I've actually lost all sense of it. But yeah, you get the sweet full art one here for the open house, which is really cool. And then the Dominarian version is actually a different art, which I actually think I like it better.
I don't know. I like full frame stuff. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I like the layout on this better, but I think the art itself, I'm happier with this one.
Neither of them say mana pool.
That's true. They just say add a little broccoli.
Someone bring a Sharpie so we can fix that.
So scrolling back up a little bit under store championship, it says the Rivals of Ixalan store championship coming week of April 2.
Yeah.
And then it has these things. Do you get these things before it comes out?
Yeah.
Neat. I just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, okay.
You're just getting Steel Leaf Champion like 3 weeks before the set comes out.
Yeah, which I think they did that before.
Okay, I probably just forgot.
Yeah, because we don't pay attention to store championship stuff, but for the people who do, it's pretty sick.
It's pretty neat.
We don't pay attention, period.
But JD Phoenix is saying, I think this promo Llanowar Elf doesn't have enough text on it. Right? I kind of miss 4 words. then we have the league play that starts April 30th. You get this super sweet, shiny Zalfirin Void, which is super sweet. It's a scry land. Enters the battlefield, scry 1. It enters untapped, and it adds colorless mana.
Pretty neat.
And I love this non-promo art, though. That's almost depressing. It's so good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the feel they're going for, is Teferi looking out where his homeland should be, and it isn't, and he can't get it back. And it's so sad.
Phasing is a cruel mistress.
Especially the non-promo art, where he's just standing there gazing out at it. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the promo card is prettier, but the regular card, I think, is more flavorful.
The regular one's more powerful.
It's more powerful. That's the word I was about to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we're still not done because draft weekend.
Ta-da!
Okay, wait. So what's open house? Because I thought this was draft. Okay, so draft weekend is... This is the one that used to be the launch party. And
I think so, yeah. Because the pre-release is April 21 to 22. So open house is before that.
Well, then what the hell is the open house?
I think it's just the social event that they started where they tried to get people to bring friends to the store.
Oh, okay. Oh, and WC Stormcrow in the chat just said that. So, yes.
Oh.
And yes, awesome, the infiltrator then. Squee does have bolus horns on his head.
Yes.
Because, you know, why wouldn't he?
I mean, tell you what. I'm going to get more magical and more evil as we go. What? I have more horns and more ears than ever before.
Eventually, he will just be covered in hats.
Maybe.
So you look like you're in Team Fortress 2.
So... this is the currency of the realm, sir. That is the way of things.
So, okay, draft weekend is the launch, formerly the launch party release weekend, whatever you want to call it. And you get this sweet promo, Zahid, Jinn of the Lamp. And I really like this guy. Hey, Clues, have you... Never mind, he's blue. Hey, Bill, have you seen this guy?
Yes. I have. And I think that he's part of an interesting mechanic of, oh, God, it's killing me in the sky. But yeah, are you specifically talking about the mechanics or just the art?
Well, I mean, just the card.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'll read it for the people who are listening. So, Zahid, Jinn of the Lamp, 4BB, legendary creature, Jinn, 5/6. So pay attention. Flying, 5/6, sweet. What's this other text say? You may pay 3BB and tap an untapped artifact you control rather than pay the spell's mana cost. So if you've got an untapped artifact on, let's say, turn 4, have a 5/6 flyer. Pretty sweet.
Because you rub the lamp.
Yeah. You effectively, literally rub the lamp by 90 degrees, and a gen pops out. And seems great. This gen doesn't have a weird screw-you-over drawback, which is unusual. And that's awesome.
Oh, unless you're on Magic Arena, and then it's a 45-degree 400, sorry. Oh,
yes, that's true. Otherwise, things just get too weird. But I think also that the gens kind of interesting you compare them, because in the the special promo one, I think that's less cool than the normal one. Again,
I thought that as well.
The normal one just looks like he's about to step out of the card frame and be in a dual deck. We still had those. The other one's like, and I found this thing.
Yeah.
So a little less exciting.
And WJM Albany, thank you for the 666 bits. I'm assuming that's because we have evil clues on the show.
Hey.
Hey.
You already established the evil.
Why is that got to be evil?
The beard.
I didn't say it was bad.
Your ways are known.
So yeah, that's those promos. The heat is really cool. I like the idea that he's hiding in any artifact that you happen to have laying around. We've got the Dominaria packaging, which we've seen before.
Yep.
And that's it. Got Teferi, Karn, somebody with a shield, a bird, and presumably Old Jaya.
Presumably.
Yay. So there you go.
Notice how Joyra makes it into the promo art, but not on the packs?
Well, I mean, she's all over the booster boxes and everything else, so sure. She'll be fine.
She's too busy actually doing stuff, to be honest.
I like that to think that she'll be here in 4 turns.
That is probably also true. So, the only other Dominaria thing left... Well, there's two, I guess. We've got today, Blake showed off Wizard's Lightning and Wizard's Retort.
I like one of these.
Which shows off the new templating on spells that reference themselves on the stack. Wizard's Lightning for 2 and a red... Instant deals 3 damage to any target, but this spell costs 2 less to cast if you control a wizard. So if you have a wizard, it's a lightning bolt. Hey. And then Wizard's Retort for 1BB, counter target spell, costs 1 less to cast if you control a wizard. So if you have a wizard, it's a counter spell. So yeah, nice and simple and neat. And
I think that's a neat way to bring those cards in. They can do the nostalgia thing without actually reprinting these.
Yeah, plus there's a neat little flavor here about the beginnings of the study of magic on Dominaria.
It's fitting that the first spell was a burn spell and the second spell was countering a burn spell.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know the real problem here? The actual real problem with either of these cards?
What's that?
Young Peasy is a shaman, not a wizard.
That is because he made a choice on career day and he had to roll with it.
Just saying. That seems like a problem.
Yeah. Good night, Elf Cat. Thanks for hanging out. It's only, what, like 2 a.m. over there, probably?
Something like that.
Yeah. Might be 3.
It's late. Okay, so this...
Yeah, that's neat. The only other thing about Dominaria is this. The stories have started going up, but I don't care about those. I care about this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, look, the stories are, I've read parts one and two of the story, and it's actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're great. I just don't care. This is way more important to me.
All right. Hey,
I thought you would enjoy this part. That's why I added it.
Yeah. There's a map of Dominaria now, like an official canon map.
Yeah.
Of Dominaria. So you can see what home looks like.
You want to bet this is eventually a playmat?
Yeah, I think that question was asked of someone at WotC, and they mentioned that the art was specifically commissioned to be playmat ratio.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
It was either someone at WotC or it was the artist. I forget. Someone said that, yeah.
And that makes sense.
But this is so awesome. I'm very happy that this is a thing that exists now. And you can see such places as Talaria West, and there's Keld. And way over here is Sarpedia, where the Fallen Empire has happened.
I appreciate that we have Shiv.
Yeah, and Shiv is right there. And then up here we've got Teresier, where there's Latinam and New Argive, Yavimaya, places that you only know or you've only heard of if they're really, really important to you or if you're really deep in it.
I think it never really occurred to me that Bogardan and Urborg are neighbors.
Where is that?
That's to the left of Corindor.
Where is
that? In the Burning Isles.
Oh, wow.
The Burning Isles. Ah, here we go. Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. Right there.
Ooh, J.D. Phoenix, if you commission a globe, let us know, because I'd like to see this as a globe, too.
Yeah, it would be pretty sweet.
So I don't like to encourage such behavior, but how long till somebody gets a tattoo of this?
Of this? That's a lot of tattoo.
That sounds painful.
Have you not noticed that people who get tattoos really don't care how difficult, intricate, time-consuming, and painful such a thing is?
Fair enough.
I'm actually kind of hoping that if that does happen, they will lose weight, and the only thing that will disappear is Zalfir. That's commitment.
Hey, look, there's Krosa.
Oh, there's like an old knight over there.
As in Might of Old and Tusker.
Tusker.
And Pardia. Oh, okay.
Yep. Llanowar being all fancy elf place. Yeah, it's fitting.
Yeah.
It all checks out.
I'm very happy about all of this. Yeah, there's Llanowar, Benalia.
I'm hoping that when a higher resolution version of this...
Hey! Sorry, what?
I'm hoping that when a higher resolution version of this pops out, we'll be able to somehow zoom in and see like a Merrillage frozen in the ice or something. It feels like the kind of gag you'd find somewhere in this kind of map.
Yeah. So this is very awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool.
I didn't miss follower. It was Squeeze Missing Eye, I think. Yeah, Squeeze Missing Eye is now following. Thank you for that, by the way.
I was wondering where that was.
It's following me on Twitch now.
Well, I guess that saves me a joke later.
So that is now all of the Dominaria stuff without getting into specific cards, and that's what the mana pool's for.
Yeah, there are plenty of places that will go over the specific cards, we promise.
Yeah. But the card image gallery goes up tomorrow as well, so you'll be able to check all that out.
Apparently there was a YouTube video put out by WotC today that people have referenced in the chat. I don't think any of us have seen that.
No.
Yeah. So Magnus, what is it? If it's just cards, then whatever. But if it's something else, then whatever.
We can find out while we go into the next stuff, I guess.
Is it a thing? If it's not a thing, we don't care. Tell us about the other thing.
Did we do signature spell books yet on this show?
No, they came out right after.
Okay, they came out on like Tuesday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right after.
Okay, so here's the signature spell book for Jace. It has these cards in it. There are 8 of them.
Dun, dun, dun.
With the really sweet new frame. I'm digging all of the way they're...
They look cool in this.
They're playing with the frames for promos here. It's a short interview with Morrow and Richard Garfield. And then someone
They posted that to their main site, too.
Someone else said it's just cards, really. Well, which is it?
Well, I don't know. Interviews with Morrow and Richard Garfield sound good.
Yeah, you can find those on the main Wizard site as well. I skimmed over it, but I didn't see anything that we would talk about.
Yeah. So, yeah, the thing with the signature spell books is you get all 8 of these, which are really sweet, no matter how much clues might hate the fact that they're blue.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
And you also get one of them randomly at foil.
Randomly?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll get these 8 and then another one that's foil. That's one of them.
Okay.
And this is making some people lose their minds.
Sure.
So let me say I have mixed feelings about this particular product.
Okay.
Conceptually, I like it. Okay. I think it's really neat and nifty and interesting as a product. From a design standpoint, if you look at what they've done with these, like just how they're laid out, what they've done with the card frames, for instance, I think it's nifty. I think they've done a really nice job. I think it's fairly pretty. There is so much Jace here. I think I need to go lay down.
Well, that's what it's called.
Yeah, I know. And so that's a problem for me.
There's something to help you here, okay? This box contains Counterspell and Negate, both of which can deal with your Jace problem.
But I don't think you understand. I am Pagliacci. I mean, I don't think you understand. I don't have any blue mana.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
I see.
So Clues, people are requesting that you read the flavor text on Blue Elemental Blast for some reason.
Oh.
On Blue Elemental Blast? I don't think I should do that. I really, there's no swearing.
In the flavor text, I agree.
Yeah, that's
there's
true.
No swearing on Monday Night Magic, so no.
Fair enough.
Want, want.
So, yeah, but lots of people are losing their minds because of the foil lottery.
Yeah, I can't look at this anymore.
that this creates. I have no problem with that.
So, as I mentioned before, I was annoyed by the fact that there was a card you could only get out of a, you know, special condition being met with the buy box pre-order stuff. That's because that's something you can't get in other ways. In the case of this, these are all cards you can get a million other ways. This is a weird promo thing. Some of the weird promo things will have something cooler than others. Whatever, this is for collectors, and collectors will go crazy, but they'll also buy more. It's a bit late in your Magic career to suddenly have an issue with essentially gambling when you purchase sealed product. Like, this is what you do.
There you go. All right. For a more in-depth discussion on that, go listen to the last episode of The Mana Pool, because we talked about that longer than we probably should have.
Oh, dude, I bet every single card here is in the Beleriand font.
Oh, my God. Okay. For those that are interested, the dual decks, Elves versus Inventors, the final dual decks, the full lists are out, and the card image gallery is up. It's got all of the new stuff. You can see here the Leaf Gilder just says tap, add green. The Yeva Nature's Herald has the crown molding. It's got all of the new stuff that comes from Dominaria as a bit of a, I guess, a sneak peek, a little taste, whatever.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm not going to pause on these, but the link is in the show notes.
Yeah,
if you want to see, and there are the deck lists right there. Pretty neat. Yes. Okay. Cool.
Pretty cool.
Other things that I have tabs for, the MTG Arena closed beta phase has started. They had it up way sooner than everyone thought on Thursday. They've added Amonkhet Block. Everyone's account was wiped so they can test new starting collections. And they claim that there are 100,000 more players that are going to be invited in the next few weeks. I signed up for the beta, I think before this went up. This went up on Tuesday. Yeah, I signed up, added my lists, my name to the beta on like the 16th or the 17th. This went up on the 20th. So hopefully I'll get a code at some point. They were just giving them away on Twitter. They tweeted like four or five and were like, here's some codes, first come, first serve. And that seems lame.
A little bit, considering the whole, you know, pre-order nature of it.
The whole what?
Considering the whole, like, you know, signing up and everything well in advance, then they just do it first come, first serve there.
Yeah, but I mean, they only gave, I think there were four or five per tweet, and they tweeted, I don't know, five or six.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it was a huge chunk, but that seemed kind of lame.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there you go. They've added Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation, which is really cool. So it's not just Ixalan block nonsense. And then if you want to know what the starting deck lists are, there's a list of those as well.
Yeah.
Azorius, Legion of Dusk, Boros, Is It, River Heralds, which I assume is blue-green, yeah. Sun Empire, Brazen Coalition, Dimir, Golgari, and Selesnya. So it's the 10 two-color combinations, but some of them they've named after Ixalan stuff because, you know, Ixalan. Because,
you know, Dinosaur Land.
I just noticed Bill changed his look again.
I do what I can. I wanted to see how long it would take.
Why are you wearing that stupid bunny suit?
I'm just wearing a stupid bunny mask right now.
Yeah, I'm not usually watching the video.
It was a Donnie Darko.
I'm going to keep not watching the video.
You just completely screwed up.
It had already been pointed out in the chat.
Oh, hey, Elcarp is now following me on Twitch. It hasn't popped up yet, but it will. So there you go. Is that it, I think? I think that's it?
I believe so. Yep.
Dude, and yeah, here is the mystical show notes, yeah.
Da-da-da.
Jeez, Serena. Yeah, there it is. Wizard spells, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we just have tournaments left. Okay. So I guess we'll start with GP Kyoto. Where, how many people were here? 2,271 players, which is 757 teams. Shout out to Newport News, West Virginia. No, Newport News, Virginia. I don't know why the word West came out. Who have area code? 757. Okay. I thought I had the tournament results up. I did not. Excuse me.
Dun, bad dun, at dun.
What?
No, nothing. I'm gonna type a thing in the chat. I guess to squeak, because you can't see this.
I mean, it'll pop up on my phone, so.
Okay.
This is... What was this? What is that?
I don't know. It's creeping me out with the bunny thing. You're right.
Oh, is the bunny thing too creepy?
Inix Bane. Anyway, sure, Clues, if you want to. So what was this? What was this damn tournament?
The format?
Yeah.
Oh, Team Trios.
Yeah, so it's the standard and modern and legacy thing.
Was it Star City that was Team Limited then?
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Star City never does Limited.
Oh, they don't, do they?
No, they're doing Team Constructed Open, so which is similar.
Same thing.
Different names, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they were both the same thing. Excuse me. There's some weekend either coming up or that already happened where it was two GPs and one was Team Limited and one was Team Constructed and I was confused. But I thought that was this weekend. Excuse me. So, yeah, since this is a bizarre format, we're just not going to go into a whole lot of detail about the decks. So, let's see. Who won? Bill, you're up.
Oh, I'm up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess this would be my role.
This was GP Kyoto, so this is totally you.
Clearly. All right, so first place, we have Ryoichi Yamamoto, Yusuke Matsubara, and Kazuki Takamura.
Yay, first place.
Congratulations. In second place, we have Yuki Yotsumoto, Ryota Endo, and Koji Takeishi. Congratulations on second.
Yay.
Third place, we have Kentaro Ichihara, Takahiro Uemoto, and Masataka Shibata. And then rounding out fourth place, we have Kensuke Kato, Akira Tanaka, and Fumiyasu Suzuike. So, congratulations to all of you. And your ability to conquer many formats.
Yay.
And if you want to know what they were playing, go look it up. Because since it's a team format, there's really nothing that can be gleaned as far as metagame goes or anything like that. So
I think I can verify that the deck lists are in an order. I just don't know if it's actually the order.
They're in some form of order. And that's important.
Yamamoto, Matsubara, Takamura. They are not in finishing order at all.
Nope.
So yeah, the decks that won were Sneak and Show, Decepticons, and Blue-Black Midrange. I'm assuming that's standard, yeah. So there you go. But that was GP Kyoto, because Team Constructed, so meh.
Yeah.
So moving on.
To Team Constructed.
To Team Constructed! Nope, that's Legacy. Where is it? Standard, Legacy, Modern, here it is. How many people were in this one?
I wish there were top five cards, Pinball Witch. I'm sorry. Do they have anything with the top five cards? I've stopped looking. It's been so long.
I don't believe so.
Top moments. We have top moments. That's like it, but it's not it. And it's not the same.
So, how many people were at, where is this? This is the SCG, this was Cincinnati, right?
Yep, yeah. It is. Not Sharonville.
Oh, yeah, SCG, and, not Sharonville, right.
And the most important thing about this SCG event was that there was, in fact, I'm told, a Skyline Chili on site. And that is great. I'm glad that people got to enjoy Skyline Chili.
I think it may be dangerous to present chili to Magic the Gathering players, but here we are.
I just wish I had been there, because I'd like some Skyline Chili, too.
Living the dream, man.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask again. So how many people were at this thing?
Oh. 1,023 players spread over 341 teams.
Nice. So, again, this is another team constructed, so we're not going to go into very much detail on these, but first place was Andrew Tenjum, Joe Bernal, and Matt Hoey. And I suddenly have hiccups. Second place, Eric Rose, Xander Regal, and Bobby Colgrove. Third place, James Baker, Mitchell Sachs, and Andrew Main. Fourth place, Tariq Patel, Matthew Dilks, and Edgar, that's a cool last name.
Mogulhaze?
Mogulhaze? Mogulhaze. There we go. We're just going to screw it up royal.
Yeah, there you go. Edgar with his amazing desert traveling castle.
Sure. Fifth place, Ross Merriam, Brennan DeCandio, and Tannen Grace. Names that sound vaguely familiar in the SCG circuit here. Sixth place was the team of Edward Drew, Chuck Pierce, and Travis Lauro, one of those. Seventh, Mike Larson, Bernie Wynn, and Jack Grannon. And the eighth place team was Austin Collins, Collins Mullen. That's not confusing at all. And Dylan Kirkpatrick. And then ninth place was just Michael Hamilton. He had two teammates there, Roger Bodie and Adam Frunze. Whatever.
Adam.
So yeah, there you go. The decks that won were Grixis Energy in Standard, Grixis Delver in Legacy, and the Blue-Red Gifts Storm deck in Modern. There you go.
All right.
Yay, team formats that we don't have to talk about very much. Boom. So how many people were in the Standard Classic?
141.
So Daniel Gillette won with a mono-red aggro deck. Yeah, that's a mono-red aggro deck. Okay.
Respectable choice.
Yeah, Julian John in second with a red-black aggro deck. Nothing really fancy here. Let me just open these up as usual. Okay, third place, Esper Gift by Adrian Throop, who has an awesome name. Let's see. What is this? Oh, this is God Pharaoh's Gift. Right. I'm like, wait, Angel of Invention. I haven't seen this in a while, but okay. It's a God Pharaoh's Gift deck. Nothing terribly out of the ordinary. Makes sense. Okay. Fourth place, Anthony DeVardi with a blue-black control deck. Still looks pretty normal. This is the creature-heavy blue-black control deck, as opposed to a more different one that is much less creature-y. Yeah. Fifth place, Kazu Negri running green-white tokens. Wow.
Variety.
Yeah, that's a lot of different standard already.
Yeah.
How about sixth place, Michael McKnight with an Esper Approach deck? Wow, playing Nazahal Primal Tide, the Blue Elder Dinosaur, as its only creature. That is hilarious. Because it's winning with Approach of the Second Sun, so, you know, why not?
Yeah, fun way to do it.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way to dig for your approaches. That's actually really funny.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Like, the Torrential Gearhulks didn't even make the main. They're in the board. Screw you guys, we've got an Elder Dinosaur.
They can wait their turn. Dinosaur got here first.
That's great. All right, moving on. Seventh place, David Ernst with a mono-red aggro deck.
Which I think the first repeat in the top eight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then a more different, this is the less creature-y version of Blue-Black Control in 8th with by Heath Vance. So, yeah, that's essentially 7 different decks in the top 8, although the mono-red and the red-black are kind of similar.
Yeah.
Just if we look at them side-by-side here, they're pretty similar, but I think it's different enough to warrant two swell. Then again, maybe not. Either way, they're red aggro decks. One has a little bit of black in it. Eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But at least 6 different archetypes since the 2 blue-black control decks were so drastically different. Just to get those two side by side. We've got this one with 17 creatures and 2 Liliana. And then this one with 6 creatures and 28 spells. Just, they play very differently.
Yeah.
So that's essentially 2 different decks.
Effectively.
Yeah. So there you go. That was standard. How many people were in the, what is this, the Modern Classic?
Modern Classic was 303. Take that, more than double.
Wait, how many?
303.
Nice. All right. Who won? Brent Clift won with Elves. Let me just open the top 8. I guess I could have looked at the rest of the top 16, huh, in Standard.
If you want to.
I already closed it, though.
Then it's dead forever.
CG.
Like the format.
Open to. Hang on. I got it. Standard. Here we go. What else did we have? Mono Green Monument. What?
Yeah. That is funny.
Oh, Ronus's Monument. Wow.
Not the monument you were thinking about.
Wow. Okay, hang on. Vertuous Gear Hulk, Walking Ballista, Carnage Tyrant, Green Belt Rampager. Huh. He can keep bouncing to your hand. He just keeps triggering the monument, doesn't he?
I think so.
I mean, not forever, because it says if you can't, not if you don't.
Yeah.
But still.
You just have to have something to leak the energy into, right?
Yeah. Let's see, we got Jade Light Ranger, Merfolk Branch Walker, that makes sense. Resilient Kenra, yup. Galta, hello. Galta with Ronus's Monument pops out cheaper. And then Ronus the Indomitable also in there. Where does the energy go?
Yeah, I would have thought it would have gone to the mana base, but it doesn't.
No, it looks like you play the Rampager to trigger your monument, and then you get to keep him, but then he's a 1-mana 3/4, so yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly worse outcomes.
And then you've got Blossoming Defense and Heart of Kirin, because you always have Heart of Kirin, and the monument itself. I love the way the monument works in this. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I still can't see the chat. What is this other message? Eh. Oh, okay. So that's a really cool deck. Sultai Constrictor, yup. Oh, that's Jadeen. Clumparens? I really need to find out how to say her name. Mono Red, Aggro, Blue Black Control, Big Red. What? What is Big Red in Standard? Direfleet, Daredevil, Glorybringer, Rekindling Phoenix, Wily Goblin. Hey, buddy. PNLR, 4 Chandra, Torch of Defiance, Aether Sphere Harvester, Abrade Magma Spray. Okay.
I mean, I'm in favor of Rekindling Phoenix and Glorybringer dot deck.
Yeah, yeah. Wily Goblin gives you treasure. Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting thing there. It's using the pirate Snapcaster there. That's interesting. I like it.
Makes sense. It's fun.
Yeah. And then Grixis Energy, Black White Vampires, Jeskai Gift. Stuff we've seen. Okay, now moving on to Modern. 303?
Trace O' Trace.
Yay. So, where is that? Here it is. Brent Clift won with Elves, like I said before.
Yep.
Good old Elves deck. Just what you'd expect. Got that Vizier of Remedies because you're playing Devoted Druid, so you have to have at least one. Seems good. Dylan Donegan in second playing Decepticons. Wait. Oh, no, there is Thoughtcast. There are 3 things that say affinity for artifacts. So it's Decepticons, yeah. Yeah, okay, nothing to see here. Derek Ruff, wow. Ruffison? Let's go with that. Playing a blue-white control deck. This is the one that's got Gideon Jura, Gideon of the Trials, Jace the Mind Sculptor, and then a lot of the things you'd expect in a blue-white control deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems good. Seen it before. Jeskai Control by Brandon Dalloway, which is the same thing, except with less Gideons and more red spells. you know, season to taste.
Yeah.
Michael's stream. What?
Just the sad reminder that this deck is running Snapcaster and Jace and a bunch of red spells.
Right?
Like, aw. There's no combination of abilities there that don't kill you.
Let's see. We've got Michael Strianese. Strianese. Excuse me. Strianese? Strianese? Michael S. Running Scapeshift with Bloodbraid Elf. Not exactly the place where I thought I'd see that, but it works. It's also running Hour of Promise and Wanvuli Acid Moss. This is a interesting take on a Scapeshift deck. I like it. Whoop. Jared Parrish in sixth running Bogles. It's just Bogles. Good old Bogles. Bogles, Bogles, Bogles. Austin Robbins in seventh running an Amulet Titan deck, like you'd expect. And Peter Tubergen running a Grixis Death Shadow deck in eighth, complete with Zombie Fish. Look at him. He's so happy. Don't you guys think he's happy?
I think so. He's about as happy as you could hope for out of a Zombie Fish.
Yeah, right? What's going on in the rest of the top 16? Dredge, Blue Moon, Sultai Midrange. What? Confidant Scavenging Ooze, Snapcaster, Goyf, Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Ooh. Jace the Mind Sculptor. 4 Liliana of the Veil. 1 Liliana of the Last Hope. 1 Nissa Steward of Elements. What? Engineered Explosives, Abrupt Decay, Fatal Push, Heroes Downfall, Inquisition, Maelstrom Pulse, Serum Visions, Thoughtseize. So it's Disruption, Murder, and Card Draw. Okay, yeah, what you'd expect. Huh.
It's like Sultai good stuff.
It is, yeah. Just, hey, are these cards all awesome? Let's just blah, put them in the deck. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, burn in 12th.
Fuego.
The Hollow One in 13th. Humans in 14th and 15th. And another Scapeshift in 16th. Seems good.
Yeah.
Hey, Clues, are you alive?
Yeah, I'm totally here. I'm interacting with the chat while you guys are covering, you know, these tournaments.
Oh, okay. Well, hey,
I've got some things to say about an upcoming tournament.
Oh, well, hey, we just got there.
Are we? Are we there? Is it time?
We are there yet.
It's happening!
Fantastic. We are finally there. Great. Great. So is it, in fact, time to talk about the King of All Formats?
That's what I hear, yeah.
All right. And there were 157 people who saw the light and played the King of All Formats here at SCG. Close to Cincinnati.
It was in Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is
not Sharonville.
Fantastic. So let's see what kind of shenanigans we can get into here at our Legacy Classic. I just gotta check something real quick here on the first place deck. Yeah. Wait.
It's whiteless.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it in fact whiteless?
Yeah.
Okay, just had to check. Okay, so here we go. Y'all ready? You ready? Chat, you ready? Fantastic. Wait,
hang on, let me take a drink.
I'd better too. I got a lot to say.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
I'm gonna eat a grape too. Can I eat a grape? Is that okay?
Is it going to make your jaw click?
Maybe. Wait, is it?
If it is, then yeah, go right ahead. That's fine. I mean, if you want a grape, have a grape.
Okay.
All right. Okay, here we go. So, at the Legacy Classic, playing the King of All Formats. In first place, Daniel Duan, let's say, was in control of everything, but really actually hates white. Sorry about that. He beat out Adam Kozart, who is very keen to get to the bottom of all of this with his Turbo Depths deck. In third place, Oliver Tomajko.
I think it's Tomajko, yeah.
Name before Tomajko, likes insectile aberrations but hates both green and white. In fourth place, Robert Graves will take up all the slack on green, bringing you lots of little green men, many of whom tap for mana. Victor Logan, Andy Roop, and Matt Davis are in fifth, sixth, and seventh, and all agree that second place had the right idea with hating Selesnya and also hate a diverse metagame. And in eighth place, still loving human wizards who love insects, but only liking Izzet, is Richard Thompson. And that is your top 8 in Legacy.
Top 8 Legacy.
Now, if we look just outside of 8th place, 9th shall not be named. We had Death and Taxes in 10th. Some colorless Eldrazi, and I wouldn't have it any other way for Eldrazi in 11th place. We've got a four-color Deathblade. Any guesses what color is missing for our four-color Deathblade?
Isn't it usually
red? I don't actually know because I didn't take a look. Let's see. Those are all in there.
Mati with the Power of Heart.
Oh, you're kidding me. Really? That's the color you chose not to go with?
I'll say, I'm pretty sure it's red in this deck, yeah.
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with these people. 13th place, also liked Little Green Men, so we had some elves. A mono red, everything's good there. Prison O deck was in 14th place. In 15th place, who needs spells when you've got lands? And in 16th place, I'm not even going to look at which one it is. I'm going to say that it is Ant in 16th place. Got a 50-50 chance. Is it Ant?
You appear to be correct.
Yes! Score!
I see zero wishes.
All right. Who could wish for anything more? Certainly not Shea Straussman, because no wishes were to be had. And that's the king of all formats. I got to say, it is not the king of all metagames here. Wow, there's so much Delver in this top eight. We got Grixis Delver in third, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and Blue-Red Delver in eighth. So I thought that Delver had, you know, gone away, that it was no longer the thing that was making everything horrible, but apparently in Cincinnati, still Delver.
JD Phoenix pointed out it's way better than 50-50 because almost no one actually plays Tess.
Fair enough.
Okay, that's fair. You're right. I did roll with the statistics was the way to go. But hey, Clue. I'm sorry, hey, Clues. Hey, Chewy.
Yes, Chewy. I mean, Clues.
Okay, Squee. I'm Squee. No, wait. You're Squee. He's Chewy. No, the other two. Okay.
Squee is now just gone, a disembodied voice, by the way.
I was talking to chat, and it turns out, with the aid of chat, I actually managed to uncover the top five cards list.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so here you go. You ready for this? Once again, here we are for episode 600. I think it's only fitting that we bring back what I think has to be the most popular segment we have ever had on this show, like in the entire history of it. Going back 600 episodes, this is probably the best segment, and that is Top 5 Cards.
Top 5 Cards!
It's the Top 5 Cards. Number 5 is Mountain. That's right. Number 5 is Mountain. I know that seems weird. And chat, I got to tell you, I did have to check on these, but it's true. Number 5 is Mountain. Number 4 is Mountain with different art. Number 3 is a promo Mountain. Number 2 is a full frame Mountain. And the number 1 in top 5 cards is Arabian Nights Mountain.
That's a good Mountain.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Honorable mention goes out to Snow Covered Mountain. Just outside in sixth place, there was a tie for sixth place, and it was for Evolving Wilds and Terramorphic Expanse, but only if used to fetch a mountain.
That's a tap mountain, Glues.
Yeah, it is. And that's why they didn't quite make the top 5 cards.
Top 5
cards.
Top 5 cards.
Oh my God.
In Technicolor.
So there you
that
go.
That color is red.
Top 5 cards.
So that's our tournament stuff. There is one more thing that is vaguely tournament-y that we need to talk about, though.
Okay.
And Squee has turned into Darth Vader with on his shoulder.
Oh, crap. Oh, that's quality.
Huh.
I really just wanted to see how long I could get away with that before Clues would notice.
I do have to say, though, Squee, you should be really careful because Fabulthup is really high up, and I know he doesn't like that, so you may want to get him lower.
It's okay. I'll force catch him.
Will he? He's got a history of throwing individuals down very, very deep shafts, so...
That's fair. Yeah, you're right. All right, I will rescue him from the dark side.
All right, good.
Good. So there was a discussion that came up in social media this week.
Oh, this. Okay, sure.
that I think came from something that happened on the camera somewhere, but it doesn't matter. Oh my god, it's that Appa that attacked me that time that I slept on your couch.
Yeah.
Wait, there's an Appa? Oh, that's great. Hi, Appa.
I woke up and that thing was just on me, like staring deeply into my eyes. It was kind of adorable and terrifying at the same time.
I hope Dr. Mrs. Dr. Clues is watching the stream because Appa's great.
Anyway, so a discussion popped up in the Magic social media world about sportsmanship, essentially. About whether or not you should offer the handshake to people when you lose or when they lose. And this went on for a couple days and I didn't understand because just be nice. This isn't hard. Be polite whether you win or lose. Like if you win, you don't jump up in your opponent's face and be like, "Oh, bitch!" Like you just don't do that. And if you lose, do what?
No, you should not be that.
Yeah. And if you lose, you shouldn't, you know, flip them off and walk away. These are just common sense things. Now, the conversation, as it does on social media, when people want to get technical and get, like, literal, the conversation turned to, well, what if you just don't like touching people? You don't offer the handshake. The literal physical handshake is completely pointless in this conversation. It doesn't matter if you physically shake their hand or not. If you're, you could be sick and you'd be like, oh, you don't want to shake my hand. Good game. I just think that we should say, as the voice of reason here, as we always are, as Monday Night Magic, is just be polite. Right, you guys? Like, Bill, I know you're having fun there, but weigh in here. You're killing me.
Oh, no, I'm trying to mimic what you're doing. But yes, you should be excellent to one another, period. The entire thing of making you shake hands is something that adults make you do as a child to teach you that this is the right thing to do, as in the respect level. It's not about the physical gesture of exchanging microbes. It is very much about acknowledging that you value the other person and you feel like you both had a fair and good experience. And you don't have to shake someone's hand to be polite to them and to treat them fairly. And likewise, if you shake someone's hand, but you're like scoffing at them the entire time, you're not doing any favor. It's entirely about the feeling that someone is just and valid and that win or lose, you both played your best and you did what you could. And also you have to acknowledge that handshakes are a cultural thing and not everyone does them. So if you extend your hand and someone doesn't take it, that doesn't necessarily mean they're scoffing you. Also, I probably wouldn't want to, you know, touch hands with most of the people I find at a Magic tournament either, because you guys have Cheeto hands. And that's why I play with
So, yeah, just...
Yeah, so could I weigh in a little bit?
By all means.
Overall, I agree with you guys with some caveats, particularly the end there with the... if you offer to shake hands and the other person doesn't want to shake hands because they don't like shaking hands, not because they're being rude or being a dick or because, you know, they think they hate your stupid face. But if they literally just don't like shaking hands, that's fine. We should be okay with that because yeah. I got to be honest. I despise shaking hands. I'll do it because it's culturally expected, but I hate it. Because frankly, I think my hands are filthy after I have washed them. I really don't want to touch yours because I have no idea where they've been. And for God's sake, this is just a message to anyone within the sound of my voice. If you use the restroom, please wash your hands, okay? I've spent too much time in my life in the restroom, washing my hands to have someone just, you know, it, particularly when they come out of the stall and they don't wash their hands, I have to think that something went wrong in their past and it really bugs me. So I'm sorry I digressed there, but back to the shaking hands thing. Yes, I think that you should, you know, offer some sort of not really a concession, but a greeting to your play, your not really, I hesitate to say, opponent, but I guess that's a fair way to say it. But be reasonable about this, okay? It's one thing to say, hey, thanks for the games, or, you know, good luck in the rest of the tournaments, or, you know, something like that. But if you're going to use the phrase good game or good games, make sure that makes sense. because there are times when you just completely destroy your opponents, like just wipe them out. Like they never had a prayer. That is not actually good games. That was a beatdown. You don't really need to rub their face in it. You just have to say, you know, hey, you know, tough breaks. Thanks for the games. I hope you do well in the rest of the tournament. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. But for instance, if it's round one of a legacy event and I'm on, oh, I don't know, let me just pull a deck out of the ether, a Goblins, okay? And my opponent...
Completely at random.
My opponent sits down across from me. His name, let's just pull a name again at random out of the ether. Let's say Michael Braverman sits down across from me and he goes, land, Lotus Petal, crack, Chalice of the Void on one in the blind, not knowing what deck I'm on at all. That is not going to be a good game. Okay. He knows it. I know it. He's going to destroy me. When the round is over, he is not going to say good game because he knows. And that happened, and it really sucked. I'm going to say I was tilted, except that it was me playing Braverman. I knew I was going to lose because I believe I've beaten him in a game, not match, game.
You see how much Clues is building a backstory for this completely randomly generated hypothetical person?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it's never happened before. That was just off the top of my head is what I'm saying. Look, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we have to go with rule number two of Monday Night Magic, right? Because rule number one, everyone remember rule number one? Chat, want to back me up? What's rule number one of Monday Night Magic?
No, if dying? You have to wait for them, it'll be a bit.
Yeah, it will be a bit. They're lagging, I suspect.
But it involves swearing.
No, that's like rule zero. There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Rule number one, no dying. Rule number two, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And so it really comes down to that, okay? And no, rule number one is not swear often.
See, that's the magic of the delay.
So, yeah, and yeah, this whole long thing is just us to say, just be decent to your opponent. If you absolutely smashed your opponent, don't like hold your hand out and be like, well,
yeah.
And if they absolutely smashed you, don't just get up and walk away. I don't care how pissed off you are. It doesn't matter how pissed off you are. You're here to play Magic against another person. You're going to have to learn to interact with other people. And if you didn't learn that when you were a child, stop going to Magic tournaments because all you're doing is bringing people down.
And if your opponent is severely tilted, try and recognize that and don't take it personally if they're salty, but don't rub it in their face either.
Yeah, be the bigger person.
Yeah.
And there you go. It's nice and simple. And I don't know why this became such a massive thing on social media. People are like, well, I don't think you should shake hands, or this is what I do, and this is what you should do. And everybody shut up. Just be decent. Just be decent. It's not hard. Jesus. Anyway.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad there is totally agreement on that.
Yeah.
Bill, it's also possible that Braverman was playing statistics.
This is Oogie. This is like Abba's baby.
Just knew that I was going to
from
be
Korra.
Because of course I was.
Oh, okay. I didn't finish Korra. It didn't suck me in like
Yeah, this is Appa's baby who grew up to be the big bison in Korra.
Gotcha. Hey man, you should really give Korra another chance.
I probably should since
I think it starts a little bit slow and
I mean I really enjoyed season one, but I couldn't get into season two at all for some reason.
Yes, if you just come off of the original Avatar The Last Airbender, it took me a while to warm to the new team. But
season two suffered because they didn't know they were gonna make it, so they made an awkward start. When you get to the halfway point of season two, it picks up and you know because they changed the animation style. So it's pretty cool.
Fair points.
That is a tangent for later. Like
fair enough. So is that all the stuff we have that isn't Magic Online?
I think so.
There was something about Rosewater and playmats that the chat was rambling on about earlier.
Is this the charity thing?
About this. Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
I don't have a link for it. I know that the little cartoony kid sketch thing that Mark Rosewater did for the Uncard?
Oh, here.
Yeah, it's look at me. I'm the DCI is the card in question.
Here we go. Apparently on Original Magic Art dot store.
Yeah.
He was working with him to benefit the Highline Big Picture High School. All profits from the sale of products illustrated by Mark will benefit the school in their mission of interest-based education. Okay. So, the prints are $20 and the playmats are $40? I don't know. Is this still going on?
It is, although the initial print run of mats has sold out.
But there is still an add to cart button, so I'm assuming it can still
Yeah, they are taking back orders, which will be available for shipping as soon as Ultra Pro can get them to us.
Ah, well, there you go, right there.
And so I think he's going to continue to sign the new shipments as well, so not just the original stack that he signed.
So, just a note here when I'm looking over the playmat one. The fourth bullet down here says machine washable. I don't know that you want a machine washer signed playmat.
Yeah, I don't think you do either. I mean, most Ultra Pro play, I think all Ultra Pro playmats are technically machine washable. Has anyone really? In the chat ever machine washed their playmat, and how did that go? Because I never have.
Yeah, I never have either. I would also be curious to know how that works. So yeah, there you go. That's on originalmagicart.store. You can, let's see, how do we get there from, you know what, the link is just, somebody add that, Bill, add that link to the show notes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bam. Well done.
Okay then. So, should we Magic Online then?
That sounds like us. Yeah, so since we're live, you can all see exactly what I see normally, which is that there's not a whole lot posted for Magic Online, because that goes up tomorrow, which is going to be on the 27th. But what I have right now are the links for the 20th.
What was that?
So,
Oxy the Mellifluous threw 3,000 bits. Holy crap. Thank you.
Did that hit you in the head?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, dude, I still have my Atomic Empire, Matt Wright. Right, it's literally right here.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina?
Yeah, and I said it way better than your robotic ass did.
Yeah, you sounded like you said Atomic Vampire to start with.
Beep boop.
But yeah,
beep,
I've got the Hexproof boop. Charity open, Matt, right here. Like on this, hang on, is there any way? I don't think there's any way to show that off. Wait, oh yeah, there it is, right there. See, look at that. Boom. How sick is that?
I can't see it.
I know you can't, but this chat can.
I'm going to assume that it's awesome.
You remember the Hexproof Charity Open, Matt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Am I still roboting?
No, you're good now.
No, okay. You got it out of your system now.
Excellent.
Which is wonderful.
I took a lozenge for that.
Bill got up and walked away for some reason.
So I could find this thing.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Product placement.
Oh, hey, wait. Boom, look, I just changed the background to be that playmat. Look at that.
Yeah,
look at that.
Still can't see that.
Technology.
Okay, here, I'll put it back to Dominaria now. There we go.
But just for that moment, it seemed worth getting. Now I'm going to go stick it in the wash and see what happens.
Yay.
Could be funny. But all right, so actual Magic Online nonsense ensues. So over here in the Magic Online weekly updates, again, reminding you, if you want to have real current news, go to the Wizards website and go to Products and Magic Online starting tomorrow, the 27th, to see what's up. So, as I mentioned, not going to be a whole lot here. First up, Masters 25 is in full swing, which is their way of saying, it's out, please buy it. Da-dun-dun.
Yay!
Yay! And then there's more of the Modern Super League, which we don't really have to talk about, because I never really talk about these things, because it airs Tuesdays. You can go check it out regularly if you want to. This past weekend, there were 2 PDQs, so I hope you weren't looking forward to those and missed them. They changed the Magic Online challenges, as they do. Again, these were all old. Who cares? No, we're going to talk about the part that people really care about, because it's the fun one. We're going to talk about the bug blog that went up on the 22nd. Let's see how Magic Online fails to Skynet and kill us all. Do-do-do. Let's see here.
Fails to Skynet.
Yeah. It totally fails to Skynet, because if you can pull that up, Chewy, can you see all the problems?
Yeah, it's been up.
Newly added known issues. All right, so first up, we got
Clones such as Phyrexian Metamorph are not granted haste by Mimic Vat, so I guess they just sort of crawl out of the vat and they're understandably disoriented. That's fair. I don't even think that's a glitch. I think that's just a flavor win. moving down to the next one. If a card such as Phyrexian Revoker that asks you to name a card is manifested, you are asked to name a card as it enters the battlefield.
Wait.
Okay.
Oh, so if this gets manifested from the top of your library, you still have to name a card.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, right?
That's just weird. I can understand how that situation would happen from a coding perspective. It's just funny. Hey, look, it's Gaddock Teague again. Always messing everything up. Gaddock Teague incorrectly does not allow cards with converted mana cost 4 or greater to be spliced onto other cards.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
Yeah, because it's just checking for, like, it's probably just checking the stack for things that cost 4 or more with no regards for what they're doing.
Probably.
Yeah, so I could see that. Vesuva allows you to copy a basic land with Blood Moon in play. Hey, Clues, how would you like a mountain?
I would like a mountain. Yes, I'll take mountains for 400, Alex.
Wait, why would...
What is a mountain?
So wait, with the new... As things enter, lands entering the battlefield thing with Blood Moon, that shouldn't work, right?
What, for it being able to copy stuff?
Right?
Yeah, it shouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it previously should have worked, right?
That doesn't
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever it's doing, it's still not supposed to do anything. So copying a basic land is not something it should be able to do. Womp womp. Under these circumstances. Yep, so then animation module does not trigger off of cards with Unleash, such as Gorehouse Chainwalker. Let me see what the trigger on that does, because they didn't auto-card it. All right, animation module, it's Kaladesh. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters put on a permanent control, you may pay 1 generic mana. If you do, create a servo, 3 and tap, choose a counter on target permanent or player. Give that permanent or player another counter of that kind. So I guess it's because...
It says it doesn't trigger. What are we triggering?
Like, whenever one or more counters are placed on a permanent, don't they come in with it? Am I not remembering Unleash correctly?
They do, but that's still getting placed.
Yeah. And I'm imagining that's the problem that it's running into. It's that it probably thinks that it's already got it rather than it being placed.
You don't get the option to pay one to create a servo. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Coffiner's Urn. There's a card that never did anything. Coffiner's Urn does not trigger when 3 or more creatures are exiled. Well, that's just sad.
Coffiner's Urn.
It's from back in Lorwyn.
Whenever a creature with toughness 4 or greater is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, you may exile it. At the beginning of the end step, if 3 or more cards have been exiled with Coffiner's Urn, sacrifice it. If you do, return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. So this says, does not trigger when 3 or more creatures are exiled.
That's rough.
That's the only thing it does.
Yeah. Well, no, it prevents those other cards from getting to your graveyard. Well, it's a May, so never mind. But yeah, it just fails.
Huh.
Admittedly, Coffiner's Urn has never been great, but that's sad.
So it says when 3 or more creatures are exiled. I wonder if that means at once.
I think it means at once. It's probably only acknowledging it as one action rather than 3 individual things being exiled. Because there's plenty of things that exile all creatures.
Yeah.
So, like, oops. That's unfortunate.
I remember the first time I ever saw Colfrenor's Urn. Brian was playing a Doran the Siege Tower deck. I think it was Doran.
Oh, wait, I remember this, I think.
Yeah, and his Doran died, so this was before... exile meant you put it he chose not to put it back in the command zone so that he could use the urn.
Yeah.
And then someone, I think it was me, killed the urn and he just didn't have his commander the whole game.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was not happy with me.
That was rough. Was that one of your live shows? Because I don't think I was present for that, but I remember this.
Maybe.
Or not live, but like one of the recorded ones that you turned into an episode.
Maybe.
I just feel like I remember this happening, and not just because you told me. But either way, you know, the Manpool's been on for 10 years. I'm sure everything happened on it eventually, if you go back far enough.
Yeah. We've actually produced the works of Shakespeare, us monkeys.
It's quite possible that it happened on Mike's turn. But yeah, so that's Coffiner's Urn doing nothing. Good job. Maybe you shouldn't buy pottery from trees. And that's Magic Online's current bugs. As a reminder, if you take advantage of these things on purpose, you are cheating. If you're playing a deck that uses Kalfener's Urn or any of these other cards, you might want to just avoid using it until they fix it and make it function properly to avoid accusations of cheating. And if your opponent uses one of these things against you, you should report to them because they're cheating. So be aware. You can find a list on the page of everything that's already known as a problem. Be familiar with it. And past that, yeah, just keep an eye out. These things come up every 2 weeks. And with that, that's all we got for Magic Online this week. I'm sure next week there will be a lot more of stuff that's already happened this past weekend. So check it on the site if you want to know about actual upcoming tournaments before they've already happened.
Yeah. So this is ordinarily where we would go right into signouts, but should we spend a few minutes bothering the chat?
Yeah, might as well. They're here. I mean,
this is episode 600, so
I feel like they stayed up with us for some reason.
Yeah, I feel like we should do something here. Anything you guys want to know other than making Clues a chat mod, which I'm not going to do because, to be frankly honest, I don't necessarily trust Clues.
I mean, this is Evil Clues, and he's also affiliated with robots.
We've been through this. There's just the one Clues. He's neither good nor evil. He is neutral. He represents science.
Clues, you work with Skynet literally.
No, I used to work with Skynet. I don't
anymore. In the past, you've got a history.
Yeah, and the past and the future are all the same. That's right. That's fair. Hold on.
Oh, hey, Clues.
Yeah?
Donovan Bane is on the other side of the world, so he should probably, you know, be productive.
That noise is trademarked, you jerk.
That's okay. It was so terrible that it'll be fine. Donovan Bane wants to know what you teach.
Well, I teach a variety of classes, mostly physics or astronomy, sometimes a combination of the two.
Astrophysics.
Yeah, sometimes astrophysics.
Astronomy.
The most out there class that I teach right now, the most off-label class that I teach right now is a class called the Physics of Sports, which is not as exciting as you want it to be most of the time, but it's still pretty interesting.
Do you get to teach about demolition derbies? Is that a sport?
That is not one that comes up, although it's not bad. Maybe I'll think about trying to incorporate
that. That's how people learn about impact and fire.
It is one way to learn about impact and fire, yes. All right, what else do you want to know?
There's plenty of stuff here.
Let's see here.
While we answer the real questions, let me throw there. Which of my dumb hats do you want me to put back on while I answer questions?
Oh, God.
Do you have a beret?
No.
Could you get a beret?
Right now? No.
Specifically a raspberry beret? You know, the kind you find in a secondhand store.
I do not have one of those on me.
All right.
Hold on. Amazon Now. Challenge.
Okay, let's see here. How did you become a host of M&M? Oh, because Tom was leaving and they wanted someone to keep it running. So Chris Otwell poked me. And after lots of, I don't think I want to do this, I decided I would do it, and I've been here ever since. And then I'd slowly added Bill and Clues.
Yeah, me added Clues a while before adding me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a frequent guest on the Manipool, but Clues was a host before me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because it was you and Clues and Jack.
Yeah.
And for a brief time, a Canadian.
Oh, yeah, we did have Schofield for a while. God, I miss Schofield.
Yeah, he actually knew what magic was and how to do it.
So, yeah, there you go. And I've been here ever since. And my first episode was 282, and this is 600.
Stark Jack, I think, was on before Chewie.
Yeah, Jack was added at some point during Tom's run.
Yeah, he was there near the end of it.
And he hung out
back when Marcel was on.
Yeah, he hung out for a good long while, and then slowly realized that he was losing all interest in magic completely, so he just sort of backed away.
It happens.
Yeah.
I still talk to Jack relatively frequently. As a matter of fact, I told him happy birthday, and we chatted for a bit whenever his birthday was, which was last week, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack got on the show because they used to do this bit where they had people call in, and he called in every week until he just became a host.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Actually, what happened?
Yeah, and then Schofield, I don't remember why Schofield left. Was it work? Oh, no, the A-Team stole him.
He was kidnapped by Canadians.
Yeah, the other Canadians snatched him because we made it clear that he was awesome, and they were like, we want that awesome, and then they took him because they're bastards.
Yeah, because bands are Canadian.
Then it was work and real life and babies and whatnot after that.
That is how it happens.
What's the D&D alignment of each of the M&M hosts? Ooh. I think I'm chaotic good. That's what I've always
identified. Yeah, I like to believe that I'm chaotic good, but I just don't know.
I will not pretend that I'm not lawful good. I like to feel like I'm neutral good or chaotic good, but on the same note, I follow pretty much all the rules almost all the time. So if I'm being honest, probably lawful good, but not a paladin.
No.
Not a paladin.
Let's see here. Oxley the Mellifluous said, I took a physics class called The Universe in 10 Weeks that was meant for non-physics majors. It was not for non-physics majors. I've found that's what a lot of the physics-type people or physics-type classes for non-science people, they all don't believe that. I used to tutor for the physics department at college, and a lot of people had problems with the second half of the astronomy course. Astronomy of the Universe, because they thought it would just be stars and constellations, and, you know, they're calculating red shifts, and people couldn't handle that. Granted, it's a very simple formula, but they just couldn't wrap their brain around all of that.
When I was in college, I was able to sign up for a course called Conceptual Physics, which was pretty much all of the concepts, but none of the math. And it was pretty amazing, because we got to put stuff in microwaves and see what happened, which is totally how physics works. Pretty neat.
Damashi wants to know, Clues, if you're going to do any more sciencey stuff podcasts.
I'd like to, just as soon as I get some time. Am I roboting, by the way, because I'm trying to load something?
No, you're fine.
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, because I'm looking up something to try and answer another question that's in the chat. I would certainly like to. I've toyed around with the idea of doing an actual, like, full-blown This Is Always a Science podcast. But I gotta be honest, I barely have time to do Monday Night Magic and my other podcast, Random Discard, as is. So I don't know when I would find the time.
Usually we just poke him with science topics as they come up, and we let him go on for a little bit about that. And he's very happy.
Yeah, that's usually enough.
I just want to know why Stark, in all caps, said babies, but I don't want him to tell me.
The context of Schofield, I'm sure.
Oh, that could be, because I scrolled back up in the chat to see if I missed anything here. Trying to find questions that are, you know, relevant.
I like how I say that I'm not a paladin, and that's everyone's like, well, clearly he's a paladin, and I'm like, thanks. Thanks, the internet.
The correct way to order Skyline Chili? I don't know. I've never had Skyline Chili.
Oh, the answer to that is a three-way. It's a regular three-way and a Chilito no onions. That's the way
to go. Well, I just got a new Clues ringtone.
And no, Donovan Bain, I am not a fighter. I'm a bard because I put all my points in charisma.
Ladies. Yeah, I have a feeling we might be flirting. Clues is probably the wizard.
But I only cast burning spells. So yeah.
That's fire. How a lot of people play wizards.
Which actually,
you might be the arcanist maybe, or the alchemist, one of those.
I have a great D&D story involving that. So back in the day, when I was a younger man,
before it was advanced.
I used to play, well...
When I was a young warthog!
I did play first edition. First edition D&D. We very quickly went to second edition, so AD&D second edition was kind of my jam back in the day. And my high school buddies...
Thaco.
Oh yeah, I love Thaco. Yeah, Thaco's the way to go, man. You haven't lived till you've used Thaco. One of the guys in our group was a little bit... Okay, all of them were a little bit crazy in their own way. But one of my buddies was a wizard and had just learned fireball as a spell. And we were in this pub and we were getting harassed by somebody. And so my buddy immediately said, okay, that's fine. Screw it. I'm casting fireball. And our DM looked at him and said, are you sure? And he said, yes. And then we looked up the stats on fireball, and the smallest fireball that you could create based on size, because, you know, there was kind of a range you could make it, would engulf the entire bar. And so we blew up a pub. It was great. Good times.
Well,
Phyrexian egg roll, stop that. Just no. Just no.
How do we... Cap, could you untime out Apple Cork? Because Stark kind of screwed that up.
But somebody did not...
But it's against your programming, we know.
No, somebody didn't make me a mod. Speaking of...
Thank you for the follow, the Dirtler. What?
Maybe longtime listeners might have heard this noise before. If you've ever heard me do this on the stream...
God.
This is the flashlight that does that. It's a rechargeable flashlight. Sorry, I blinded you there. From IKEA. So it's a hand crank. There you go. Apple Cork, your test was successful.
They're all goobers.
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry. Were there any other pressing questions that I
missed? There are a lot of questions in here. I'm going to let Chewie keep picking them.
Thaco is the best, I believe, was what we came up with. Yeah, that seems right.
I haven't seen any more that are terribly relevant.
That's fair.
Just yet. Anything else before we sign off, you guys?
A lot of crazy nonsense in here.
So how about you guys? Anything you want to add for 600?
Well, I do want to say it's quite astonishing to me that we've made it to 600. That is, as we like to say, not a small number. Monday Night Magic is kind of it holds a special place in my heart because it was one of the first Magic podcasts I ever listened to. Now, this was way back in the day. This was Tom and the crew and all of their shenanigans that they got up to. When I first got involved in Magic, I think we all kind of is there a moon image behind me? There was kind of a sorry, I was distracted by the chat. As when you get involved in Magic, at least at the beginning, there's kind of an obsession that takes over, and you devour as much Magic content as you can find. And there wasn't a lot of it back then. You know, there weren't a ton of Magic podcasts. We are kind of spoiled for the podcasts, the articles, the outlets that we now have. Magic content is practically everywhere now. WotC has as its official channel anything they touch, including, Tumblr, Instagram, crumpled up pieces of paper that they throw out the window. Whatever it is, but you can find it pretty much everywhere. But back then there wasn't a whole lot. So what I could get my hands on was Monday Night Magic. Eventually I found the Mana Pool, not right away, but Monday Night Magic. They were doing some like podcasts of Rich Hagon doing like audio coverage at tournaments, and that, oh God, I couldn't get enough of that.
I listened to those religiously.
He's so amazing. The man is so excited about everything. And he would be talking about decks and cards that I'd never heard of. I didn't know what any of them were, but I didn't care. I wanted to listen to it. I wanted to get everything I could. And so that was my first introduction to Magic, was listening to stuff like that and listening to, Tom ramble about, a little tiny bit of Magic and then bad movies and poop. And it was okay.
Tom in a nutshell.
I could live with the rambling about bad movies and poop as long as I got some Magic content along the way. And so I kept listening. And, eventually this crazy guy took over, which I think is great, and has kept this I'm going to say the ship afloat, but I'm going to say not quite sunk because it's not the greatest ship. It's a weird ship.
He has kept this train afloat.
He's kept this train afloat or this ship on the rails. Yes, he's done those two things.
Let me interrupt you real quick. I want to thank Silver Fist and Dimashu for the subscriptions. Dimashu for 3 months in a row.
Nice. Nice.
Okay.
So when I first got an opportunity to be on this show, it was amazing, to be honest with you. It was crazy. I couldn't believe that me, some rando who just, was an L1 judge, who, if you listen to episode 500 of the Mana Pool, you got to hear the story of how Chewie and I first met, which is a great story. go listen to that. It amuses me to this day.
I really thought I was in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you were. I don't know. You've been stuck with me all this time. it was crazy to me that I was going to get involved. And I can't begin to describe to you how nervous I was on that first show. And for those who have never been involved with this side of a podcast, it's really weird to be on mic, particularly when it's a show you've listened to, because you have this weird disconnect where you're not really sure that you're actually talking to these people because you're used to listening to them through your headphones for so long. So I was pretty quiet the first time, and my nerves
are pretty common
killing me. But now it's really just, you know, in some ways I think of the vibe we have here on M&M similar to, not the same as, I don't want to claim that in any way, but similar to the vibe over on the Manipool. And I think Chewy is a big reason why that happens. It's, in this case, three friends hanging out, talking about a thing that they enjoy. And just, you know, I was going to say something that involved a swear word. So I'm not going to, because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Don't
Shady.
That. Yes, that's right. No, I can't say that. Yes.
Demir.
So it's been great to be involved. And I can't remember the first episode I was on. I wrote it down somewhere once upon a time. But it's been a long time that I've been involved in Monday Night Magic. And it's been a great part of my life. And I love it. And I think it's great that I get to hang out and stay in touch with you guys, even though I am no longer down near you, which it does make me sad. I miss all my friends and I miss the magic scene down in Durham, North Carolina, there at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out.
Apparently, Team Troll misses you.
I do mean that. Oh, man, I miss Team Troll, too. Have you seen them lately?
I don't know. That's what Silverfist just said in the chat.
Oh, yeah, man. I miss Team Troll terribly. They were great. I mean, I'm sure they still are, but I don't get to see them much. And they introduced me to Cheerios as a deck, and I love that deck.
I was about to say, wow, you're a bit behind on that one.
Yeah.
My introduction was a bee that showed up when I was watching cartoons.
Yeah, well, there was that. But, I mean, if you try and play that at a magic tournament, people are going to tell you to get the food off the table.
I mean, maybe
who am I kidding? No, they're just going to ask for some. That's
more likely.
So, you know, I like what we do here. Are we the best podcast to listen to for strategy? Oh, God, no. What are you doing? Get out of here.
I mean, I think our strategy is to talk about magic and not play it because it makes us happier.
You know, I hope that we bring people a little bit of news, a little bit of entertainment, and
the voice of reason.
A little bit of a voice of reason. That's what I hope that we bring here. So thank you to both of you guys for letting me be a part of this for as long as I have been. It's great. Let's keep doing it until we don't enjoy it anymore.
Did Fibblethip just blow a kiss?
Maybe.
Okay.
Specifically at Clues, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, I'm not watching the videos, so that...
That I'm aware, that's why I'm having fun.
Okay, great.
And
so that's what I want to say. I hope that I hope we're mildly entertaining. I guess that's all we can ask.
That is what I hope for. I learned a long time ago that my job with the podcast was to keep people at work or driving or doing some sort of task sane for the length of time that they're listening to the show. Because for the longest time, that's what I use podcasts for.
Yeah.
And that we get a lot of people over the years who said, you guys keep me sane at work, on the bus, driving wherever. You keep me awake, driving wherever late at night. Stuff like that. And that's what I'm here for, is to make, like, if it keeps you from stabbing your coworker, I feel like I've done a good job.
This is the community service deal Chewy signed on for.
Yeah.
Monday Night Magic, keeping you from stabbing your coworker since, what, 2007.
Late 2007.
Yeah, when I first started listening to podcasts, I actually listened to everything on the MTGcast network because there were, like, four shows.
Yeah, that was possible back then.
Yeah, you could do it. And none of them were as long as they are now either. Like, a lot of them were pretty short. And I was working in a job where I didn't need that much focus to do it. So I could just play stuff in the background while I was doing it. And I was looking for magic stuff listed. Like, that's when I would listen to Rich Hagen stuff and all the other shows that were here. I actually started listening to podcasts because my playgroup that I actually played Magic with had Mike in it. And at one point, Mike got on some podcast with some guy I didn't know. And so I started listening to those with the rotating selection of hosts that turned into these four people, one of which was Mike. And eventually I met all of you guys at like the Eventide pre-release because we were still doing regional ones back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just kept listening for a while, and eventually I guested a few times. And it was kind of strange to me because, like, I knew Mike already. And the fun thing is that when they're on the show, they're the exact same people they are off the show, only they stop swearing. And so it was never really much of a transition. And so listening to that was kind of neat. And then later when I would go to, you know, we'd go to the Charlotte events and stuff like that, it was kind of weird to me that there were people who knew who they were. And I'm like, I mean, I knew people listened, but it was that strange. Like, you're not a celebrity, but people you don't know who you are. And that's kind of weird because they don't see what you look like. I mean, until you got the Charizard, I don't think anyone actually knew what you looked like.
And around that that Charlotte event, is that the one where we met Clues?
I think that was one of the later Charlotte events, but it was definitely one of them.
It was an SCG in Charlotte. But yeah, right around then was when I started to get used to people or started having people walk up and be like, I know your voice. Are you Chewy? And it was crazy.
Yeah.
But now it's been, you know, 10 years. I'm slowly getting used to it. It still is a little weird.
I think it's situational.
Yeah.
I think if someone knows who you are when you are like at your local game store or something, that's a little different than if you're at like a bigger tournament where you're going to find people that are more into Magic, even though the local one is people who know you as you. But there are some people that are at this store that I go to when I do pre-releases who listen to Monday Night Magic, and they listen to, you know, like Manipool and stuff. And so, like, if they'll make a reference to something, and it'll take me a second to realize, where did I hear that before? And then it's something that we said, like, a month ago. Because I don't remember what I say. It's kind of weird. Like, I'll remember it if it became the title of the show, but I'll probably forget most of these things as I say them. And so when people make references to stuff that they hear in the odds and ends, like a few weeks later, I'm like, what? I mean, I probably said that. But also, as Clues says, like, it's a bit of a transition to go from listening to talking and actually having them talk back. It also goes in the reverse direction, where if we miss an episode, we try to listen to the ones we missed. And if I'm sitting in my car and I'm listening to an episode with the two of them on it, I'll say things and I'll be like, hey, I'm talking, shut up. Even though it's like Wednesday morning. And just because that's the way that we are around each other. We just talk to each other all the time and don't really think about it. And if I am on it and for some reason I'm listening to it, I'll say something that I think is clever as I say it because I forgot I said it the first time. And that's
doing that.
That's kind of weird too. Like, I'll go to make a point and then hear myself make that point. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh, hey, Steve on the bus is now following. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, he's following you as long as the bus goes that way. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I like meeting people. It's still weird when someone asks you to sign something. Like, I mean, I don't write Squee on things. I don't sign anything with my name. I draw a little Sharpie goblin on stuff that vaguely looks like Squee crossed with like Bucky O'Hare, but it's the best that I can draw, so you get stuck with it. But it's so weird when people want you to sign stuff, and if someone would ever actually sign something that's like worth money, I probably wouldn't do it because I just feel bad.
Damn it, now the Bucky O'Hare theme song's in my head. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Oh, you knew this was gonna happen eventually. You talked to me long enough.
Damn it.
It was a good video game. Not a bad Mega Man clown. Not a good one. So I'll take that back. Not a bad one. But yeah, like there's a lot of weirdness to it. But I listened to Monday Night Magic for a long time before Chewy was hosting it too. So I can kind of compare. Like when I was listening to it, it was when it was pretty early on. Cause like I was just listening to everything. So it was before Conley came on, when it was just like Gavin and Tom, and I think it was after Dom, and I think before Conley was really solidified as another guest host, and before Jack and before Marcel and all that. And it was sort of interesting to compare them because it's weird that I still think of that as a different show because it is very different once Chewy came on. As Clues mentioned, there's a lot more structure now, even though we don't have attention spans, but he rallies us back as much as he can. And like overall, it's been a great experience and I'm enjoying it. And like, as noted, like, I don't play much Magic anymore. I go to, like, 3 or 4 pre-releases a year, and that's about it. But I can keep up, and I have fun. And I like meeting people through it. So, all in all, I really enjoy it. I'm glad people get satisfaction from it. And I apologize when I get old theme songs stuck in your head, because I'm probably going to keep doing that, because I speak in pop culture, like, TV tropes is a language. So.
He does.
Yeah, it's just what I do all the time. That's not just a show thing.
If you're in the odds and ends, you know that. And if you've watched Display Overwatch, you know this.
Yeah, that's just how I communicate with people. So, but that's my long-winded tangent. So, go Chewy, I guess.
I don't have one. But...
yeah, I guess you just did all this with, like, Manipul.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. I am very happy that you guys are still here with me, though. I know for Clues there for a while, it was touch and go. And oh, I was actually...
Last semester damn near killed me.
Yeah, I was actually hoping that you would take some time away from the show just so you would have more time to relax. And you did. And I was proud of you.
Yeah, it was bad. Real bad.
I am glad you are alive. Followed the rules.
Yes. But, yeah, originally, and I think this... I don't know if this is something I've said before, but originally, I didn't want to take over Monday Night Magic. And I think that is why I was the right person to take over Monday Night Magic, if that makes any sense. Because I was like, oh god, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be double the work because, you know, 2 podcasts a week is twice 1 podcast a week. And at the time, I just didn't think I had it in me to do that. But I got to thinking about it and I was like, you know, I bet, because I try not to say publicly disparaging things about the pre-Chewy Monday Night Magic, but at the end there, when Tom decided he was done, I think Tom should have decided he was done a long time before he actually did.
I think that's fair.
Because it was kind of a
giant mess. He wasn't enjoying it anymore.
Yeah, like, he didn't enjoy Magic at all anymore, so much of the show was just nonsense. And like, everyone
when you stop
else...
caring and you produce content, it shows.
Yeah, but, like, that means that the entire cast... didn't care. And it just became, like Clue said, a little bit of magic and, you know, poop or whatever. I forgot what Clue said now, but I was like,
yeah,
you know.
Bad movies and poop.
Bad movies and poop, yeah. And things like Don't Google This and horrible medical stories and things that have no place on Monday Night Magic, the flagship show of the MTG Cast Network. And I was like, you know, I bet I can try to turn it around and make it more about magic. And so I decided I would do it. Now, at some point in the past, I was really thinking of stopping Monday Night Magic, probably during the dark times. And it was, I was casting around trying to find someone that I thought would want it. But anytime I brought it up, people would be like, I'll do it. And I would always immediately go, for those people. Because I didn't want, like me, I didn't want people to do Monday Night Magic for their own, like, oh, this will make me, I'll get my name out to lots of people and it'll be awesome. No, do it because you want the show to keep going, not because you want to get bigger. And I just never found anyone that I got the right vibe from. So I said, yeah, screw it, I'll just keep doing it. And here I am still.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about it though, really. I don't know. But anyway, this has now gone to about 3 hours of...
Yeah, it's pretty long.
...of actual... almost just under 3 hours of actual podcast, so...
Yeah.
I think we should go ahead and do the wrap-up thing.
Yep. So, you can find me on Twitter at SqueegolandAbob. There's no I, because it's apparently following Chewy now. So, yeah, remember that. That's how we do it. And beyond that, I'm looking forward to catching Ready Player One this week. Because it's going to be giant nerd explosion on Wednesday. Apparently, movies come out on Wednesday. They're right before Easter. That's
giant
something.
Nerd explosion.
Yeah. Looks like it'll probably be a lot of fun. I'm not going to it for amazing writing. I'm going to it exactly for the fan service. And I think it's going to deliver on that. I also imagine the soundtrack's going to be a lot of fun. And just because I saw it a million times in the chat, if someone were to make a Magic the Gathering TV series, I would watch it if it gave me sort of the vibe of Star Wars Clone Wars, where it jumped around in different settings with different characters and slowly moved to bigger plot, kind of like actual Magic does. I don't think I would enjoy it if it was And now we watch the Planeswalkers go on whatever their adventure is week to week. The settings are way more interesting than the characters, and I think the Star Wars shows have done a better job of that than most of the other things on television. That's how you would get me to watch it. They could even stick with a similar art style, honestly. It'd probably be pretty funny. But that's about where I'm at, so go Clues.
Okay, so, hey, some things. First of all, there is another podcast I do, so if you want to get some more of me, you can find me over on the Random Discard podcast. It is found at randomdiscard.com. It's also right here on the MTGCast Network. It's the podcast where we talk about nerdy things. My co-host Rich and I, we kind of talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about, to be honest with you. Our most recent show is actually about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. We're working on Volume 2, should be up in the next week or so, fingers crossed. It is a tough show for us to do just because of timing. There's only one night a week that we can actually get together to do that, and sometimes he has stuff come up, sometimes I have stuff that comes up. It's rough, but we're doing our best to try and get it a little more regular. No promises, but there is a new episode up, so go check that out. Let's see now. Other things. Oh, hey, about Ready Player One, I do want to make mention that I am going to see Ready Player One this coming weekend. I'm normally not really good at seeing movies just because timing never works out well, and I end up seeing things weeks and weeks and weeks after. As a matter of fact, I just saw Thor Ragnarok for the first time last weekend.
Nice.
So all right, then.
Felt good about that. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Good.
But about Ready Player One, I've got some buddies who I play video games on the PS4 with. The Destiny crew, yeah. We're actually getting together in person to see Ready Player One. We rented out a theater for ourselves, and we're going to a midnight showing Friday night. So I won't see it until Friday night, but it will be with the theater of just my buddies and I.
That's nice. Fun.
So that's kind of crazy. It wasn't my idea originally, but I am totally behind it. So...
So that means you guys are all going to stop playing Destiny long enough to watch a movie together.
Yeah. Have you actually seen any of Destiny 2? I'm going to go with no.
No.
Yeah. We've mostly been playing Burnout Paradise.
No. Nowadays, MMOs are pirates is what I was told.
Yar.
Yeah. I hear they have gone all pirates.
But only if they're an unfinished game.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you finish it, then it's not an MMO anymore.
I heard that they're announcing Borderlands 3. So there's a good chance we'll get into that.
Nice.
Because... Borderlands. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Lockluze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. And I guess that's it. Take it away, Chewy.
All right. I saw Tomb Raider yesterday, day before, whenever it was.
Yeah, the weekend.
And it was good.
Excellent.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mom was like, we should go see Wrinkle in Time. And I went, she's like, have you heard anything about it? And I said, nothing. I've heard nothing about Wrinkle in Time.
And we've been asking for a while.
Yeah, so I asked Twitter because I'd heard nothing. And I got only negative responses. And I think Clues sent me a link to Movie Bob's review. I think it was you, Clues.
Oh, yeah, it was me.
Yeah. And that was it. And I went, oh, hey, Mom, we probably shouldn't see that. She's like, okay, let's see Tomb Raider instead. I said, right. So, yeah, we went to see Tomb Raider, and it was enjoyable. It was a badass film. It had a very video gamey vibe to it, which is good, because it's based on a video game. It wasn't as dark and scary and kind of, please don't do that, as the first of the Tomb Raider reboot games. So, yeah.
But it was fun.
But it was fun, yeah. It was enjoyable.
Cool.
They didn't do that thing where, you know, strong female character. Oh God, save me! They didn't do that. She had all of the agency, so that was good.
That's good.
Yeah. It was badass. And Alicia Vikander. I don't know how you say her last name, but yeah, she's pretty much a badass.
That's good.
Which made me laugh even more at all of the. Sad, lonely neckbeards who are like, well, she doesn't have Lara Croft's body, does she?
Yeah, she's not made of boxes.
Yeah, idiots. So, and she does have Lara Croft's body because she's Lara Croft.
Oh.
That's like, I totally have Chewie's underwear. Not on.
Wait, does Chewie know?
Shut up, Clues. But anyway, that's pretty much it for that. I've been watching Punisher on Netflix. It's pretty sick. I just watched the episode where the hotel thing happened and it was told multiple times from multiple different angles. That was really well done. I finished Stranger Things 2. I've actually been taking time.
What'd you think?
I thought it was awesome.
Good.
I've actually been taking time for myself to actually, you know, stop working for a brief period of time and go out there and watch some stuff.
Yeah, Chewie is slowly learning work-life balance because his work became his life. He needed balance. Yeah.
And I'm
going to poke him in a while.
I'm slowly getting better at it. Like now when I wake up in the morning, if I don't have a drive or something, instead of coming right in here and getting straight to work, I go out to the living room and like watch an episode of The Punisher or something like that and then come back in here and get to work just to allow me to wake up and, you know, do something. So, yeah, I'm proud of me. I don't know how long that'll last because it's me. But whatever. For now, it's working. I've also been watching a lot of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In on Amazon really? Prime. Yeah, dude. I used to watch it when I was a kid on Nick at Night.
I was going to say, I used to watch it on Nick at Night.
Yeah. And when I saw that it was on Amazon Prime, I went, wait, what? And yeah, I've finished season one and I'm partway through season two. It's amazing how much of that show has, like, I talked about this on A Manipul Odds and Ends with Mike recently. It's amazing how much of that show is, like, filtered into my brain and just become part of it.
Yeah.
Like, even the thing I did at the beginning of this show, due to circumstances beyond our control, Monday Night Magic 600 will continue as planned. I always loved Gary Owens with his not at all a headset, but still holding his hand to his ear thing that he did. Yeah. And Morgul as the friendly Drelb. But anyway, that's what I've been doing here lately. I watched some movies too, but I don't remember what they are, like on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. I watched a couple, oh god, there was one really cheesy horror movie about a group of, like, ghost hunter style people who actually find a haunted place that was really, like, not low budget, but like mid budget and cheesy and kind of lame.
Yeah. Was it more scary or funny?
It was more derpy, but it had couple of, like, jump scares that got me. Damn it.
Fair enough.
But I just enjoyed the premise. But I think it was called America's Most Haunted.
Wow. Okay.
Because that was the name of their fake show, you know.
Gotcha. Oh, slight tangent back. I did watch Pacific Rim 2 last week, since people were asking me my opinion on that. And I thought it was fine. I think the first movie was better. I think the second movie was still fun. I had robots. There were monsters. Fighting occurred. What I wanted. I have simple needs when it comes to movies. But I know enough people ask me my opinion on that. Yeah, I saw it and I thought it was fine.
It wasn't going to win any awards for high cinema, but it was giant robots and monsters smashing into each other. Oh my god, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, the biggest criticisms of it are the fact that it's not more of the giant robots fighting monsters, which is fair. There's a little bit more of robots fighting robots, but then there are obviously going to be monsters for the robots to fight. So it works out.
At any point, are the robots in disguise?
And a manner of speaking.
So does it have affinity?
Yes.
I hate you so bad.
It was a long way.
It also has slivers.
It was a long way to go for that joke, but Chewie now hates me. Wait, no, he hated me before. Chewie still hates me. So success.
The past and the future is established. But yeah, it has slivers in it, so see if you can find them.
All right.
Nice. Why is my chat talking about porn? Actually, no, I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, you don't want to. Trust me. I've been watching it. I did not engage in that particular topic much.
Okay.
Just don't go there. Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going to wrap this up. So right here on the Twitch channel, you can come hang out when we're not doing Manipul 600 because I play Overwatch and Hearthstone. And then other things. Overwatch and Hearthstone are the two big ones that I play more frequently. But I play all kinds of other nonsense. At some point in the near future, I really want to pick the Walking Dead Telltale games back up. I was going to do it one day and then got home too late and didn't feel right. And then I was going to do it the next day and... No, that's when I didn't feel right. It was on Sunday, but I need to get back on that. But anyway, over on youtube.com/themanipul, you'll find the video of this if you missed it. So you can watch it there and it'll have ads. So, you know, I'll get more, you'll support me more if you watch it on YouTube rather than on Twitch. Just saying. And be sure to listen to Monday Night Magic next week, because on 601, we have our very own exclusive preview card.
Hey, that's true. We do.
Wait, is that next? Hang on. Did I just lie?
No, I think that's next week.
Yeah, that's next week. Next week,
yeah.
We record on Monday night. So on Tuesday, as close to midnight Eastern as I can manage, it will go out. And you can check out our exclusive preview card for Dominaria.
So when you say Tuesday as close to midnight Eastern, you mean midnight on Tuesday. So Monday going into Tuesday.
Yes. So we record Monday night and then I'll get it out as soon as possible, as close to that midnight as possible.
Right.
So, yeah. And then the Mana Pool has one for the next episode, which will be coming out the following Monday, the 9th. Is that the 9th? That is the 9th.
Ta-da!
So, yeah. Both of my shows have exclusive preview cards, finally. That feels pretty good, man. What else is there? I guess that's it. So, all the usual things apply. You can find me on Twitter, at the Mana Pool. You can find me everywhere as The Mana Pool. YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I know I'm missing something.
Okay, Cupid. No, don't go to those places. This counts by name.
I am the what is it, Grindr? Is that a thing?
It is a thing, but maybe not the one you're thinking of.
He's at
the Mana Pool on Uber.
I am at the Mana Pool on Uber.
He will pick you up.
I will not pick you up because I don't care if you have a ride. Anyway, but most importantly, you can go to patreon.com/themanapool if you would like to help support what I do with all of this insane amount of... Why is this on that screen? There we go. This insane amount of content that I do, 2 podcasts a week and Twitch streams and YouTube videos and all that. And you can get early stuff, Mana Pool episodes and YouTube videos go out early. You can get the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after, both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool that is uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption.
There is swearing on the odds and ends.
And usually how? Lots of it.
And most of it is clues.
Yeah, a lot of it enough. Is me, that is fair. I've got a lot of pent-up feelings.
Words.
Words. Yes. There are many words that I have pent up. Most of them only have 4 letters, but...
I've also noticed Brian has been swearing a lot more lately. So, like, before show or when he calls me about something, there's just lots of swearing. And I'm like,
Maybe it's because there's no swearing in court.
That could be, yeah. But, so, you can get early stuff, odds and ends. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can get... Well, you can become a lifeguard. A Patreon lifeguard, which is slightly different from a Twitch lifeguard. In that, I will put your name on the end slate for all the videos that go up for every month that you support at that tier, and it will read off your names on both shows. So to that end, I would like to thank, and a bunch of these people are here today, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, which Clues just found out is Al, A-L, not Al. Yeah.
I thought it was Ow, as in like, a exclamation
like,
of pain.
Like every time I said Andrew Hunt, it hurt me.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Okay, Al. Rafe Gall, Corey Clotier, that's Apple Cork. Paul David, Lands Delicious, Timu Helazharyu, John Morris, that's WJM Albany. Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bretain, Casey, Nathan Hay, that's Faye and Says. Hang on, I lost my place. By the way, Al is Al, and Kim Ho is Random K-Ho. There it is. Okay, Danny Liao, AJ Javieris, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, that's Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburn, that's Mike, but I don't think I've seen him tonight. And the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine, who is Magnus VIR in the Twitch chat. So thank you all so much for being here and for all the support and for everything. I quite literally could not do it without you. And other side clues.
Okay.
Thanks. And Bill, yours is towards the couch.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm actually looking at the stream. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
I feel so left out.
You should.
Oh, you want to?
Wait, all right. Sure. Wait, hang on. I'm dumb.
Is it this way? I'm not watching.
You're off the screen over there, dude.
All right. Okay, go, Bill.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Huh. Nice.
Awesome.
We are.
I'm watching the replay. Do we work?
Yes. Close. Yes.
Go Close team enough. Venture. Anybody? No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Wait. What is?
Now we're pausing to watch ourselves do this. That's how live
Flaming
works.
Cheetos. Is this 600th episode, or does it mean total numbers of group? I don't understand your question.
This is
the 600th episode of Monday Night Magic, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is episode number 600. Not a small number.
Indeed. So with that, we are going to stop the episode finally and kill the stream. So for all of you watching live, thank you so much for being here. And if you missed any of it, then check out, this will go up on YouTube hopefully tomorrow if I can make it all work. I have to download the stream because I forgot to hit record earlier because I'm stupid. So yeah.
But we really do appreciate everybody who came and joined us tonight. It was great.
We do. There might actually be more people here than there were for.
Yeah, how many are in the stream right now? I'm not watching it, so I can't see the count.
There are currently, it says 43, but that was up in like the I think 60s earlier.
Nice.
Which is pretty good for.
And for those of you who are listening to this audio only and can't see it, 541.
What was that? Oh, and Crux Shadows is now following. Hey, thanks. Last minute follow there. So, again, this has been Monday Night Magic number 600. Thank you all, seriously, so very much for coming to hang out. And for those of you listening or watching later, thank you as well. And go play some magic. Bye.
Bye, friends.
Wait, wave bye, Clues.
Sorry, I was typing to the chat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was engaging with the listeners. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We get it. Social protocol engaged. We understand.
Okay. Audio stream. I am now waving at the camera.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Now I'm waving as well because you were behind, please.
I'm gonna stop the stream for real now. Bye, everybody.